Let's get ready to wrinkle!
I would like to point out that when I came in from outside, you know, we took a break, and I'm like, I need to get something else to drink. And I need to have a bite to eat my from, you know, chilling, living life.
Gotcha. Cool.
And my wife had made enchiladas, so I need to wolf one of those down in between podcasts. So I'm like, I need something to drink. And I look up, Mike's coming in out of the garage while I'm heating up an enchilada. I'm like, hey, Mike, go out and grab me a Dr. Pepper. And he's like, yeah, please. Okay. He sets down three different beers on my counter.
I didn't know which one I wanted.
Well, I mean, we're not going to drink any. People buy beer and leave them at our house, and neither of us really drink. Kathy will sometimes, but we really, overall, we don't drink much beer. And so I'm fine with anybody, but the fact that he had three different ones, he just sat them on a row. Do you have a bottle opener?
I think you remember the last podcast where I was flaking my hands off trying to turn.
Yeah, I do. You gotta use your hand like a man.
Right? Yeah.
What we got? Seattle. What does that say? It's a Newcastle. A Newcastle.
Yeah. I didn't think I'd like this. Actually, it's not that bad.
Newcastle Black Ale.
No, this is a black ale. I like the brown ale.
Yeah.
I'm not usually one for the dark beers, like the dark beers.
Yeah.
Like
well, it's cold. It's not the way you normally drink dark beer. It's cold.
True dat.
Also, an Angry Orchard and then a Coors Light, because he probably wants to just top it all off with carbonated urine.
I figured gross. All the flavored crap up there, I'd probably just
you need a go palate to
my
cleanser.
Coors Light. Yeah. Just to. And trust me, Coors Light is not my beer of choice, but at least it's a predictable taste.
They're not giving us any money for that pimp right there.
You don't ride the silver bullet.
Apparently not so much.
But the mountain range is blue, so we know it's cold.
It is cold.
So sweet.
Currently.
Yeah, established.
Currently.
It'll be warmer by the time Mike drinks it. So welcome, ladies and germs, to episode number 19.
Wouldn't be the first time.
19. Fly casual.
You would think it's been a whole week since we recorded the last one.
Because I still can't remember what the heck episode it is. So, yeah, that's nothing new. Hey, I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. With me on the left is Michael J. Archibald flicking his fingers madly.
Hopping through Twitter, man, seeing what's going on in the world.
Yeah, that little tablet's getting a workout. So when did you upgrade to the newer iPad? When did that happen?
Oh, geez, a few weeks ago, man. I had an iPad 2, and it just was not keeping up, man. I had to bite the bullet and get
I'd really hoped that the Apple tablets would have longer shelf life than the Apple phones, but they do not. Yeah. They apparently do not.
That lasted a decent amount. I got a few years out of it, but
yeah,
it was time.
Yeah.
The kids inherit the old ones to play their games on it now.
Yeah. So now you don't have to keep fighting for it, you know, go to bed so daddy can use his iPad. But it's only 6 p.m. Shut up.
We just got up.
Exactly. Across the pond and down a few miles is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy. How you doing?
I am doing good. How are you doing?
I am doing all right.
I don't have a tablet, so I feel left out.
No, but you've got a... Yeah. Well, you used to have a gigantic green phone. Yeah. Now you have an iOS device.
Yeah.
What kind of... Those Kindle Fires, man, they're cheap. $120 bucks,
that's
man.
True. They were on sale for $117 today.
But I'll just end up having to play Mickey Mouse Crew on it the whole day.
Yeah.
You can't do everything that an iPad does.
I had original Kindle Fire.
Yeah. And, each iteration gets
just like
better.
The old Apple tablets. It's like, you know, doesn't keep up.
For the price, man, I love them. I got them for my kids. They love them.
For $100, it's one thing. I mean, when you pay $700 for a tablet, you expect it to last and do things better.
Well, you bet. How many years you said you had it? Few years. I mean, that's people buy a PC and get a new one every three, four years. Yeah.
Yeah. But my old one doesn't slow to a crawl.
Which podcast? Sure is does. This? I'm confused.
No. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is the Applecast again.
Oh,
the rotten apple. The rotten apple cast. The Angry Orchard cast. And over here and feeling butthurt about our dugging on iOS.
Which is hilarious because we all have iOS devices everywhere.
Yeah, but you have two on the table right now.
I do. On top of one, on top of the other.
Yeah, that's right. They're stacking. Yes. Mr. Stephen J. Howie.
They do, and they actually perform faster when they.
Oh, they're like Legos.
Yeah. High chorus. Yeah.
Legos perform faster when you stack them. That's true.
Absolutely.
That's scientific fact. Yeah. Is what that is. Welcome, ladies and germs, to Fly Casual, the podcast where we talk about Star Wars.
Oh yeah,
Star Wars. That's a great show. You've tuned in to a reviews and rumors podcast.
Oh no!
So alerts.
Oh. I did it again.
2 degrees down bubble.
No takebacks now.
Yeah, exactly. We are going to spoil the crap out of everything that you've ever loved or held dear. So if you're not on board for that, we'll be talking about the season finale of Rebels.
Mm.
We'll be talking about.
Wait. Or what? Is it?
Or is it?
Dun, dun, dun.
More rumors. Yeah. Rumors upon rumors. Yeah. Within rumors. More rumors.
Might not be the season.
Stackable finale. Rumors. They right. perform like, faster.
Like mid-season Legos. Finale. Maybe.
Yeah, it could be a mid-season finale because it sounds like, well, we'll get into that. I'm such a tease.
got you now.
We'll be talking about the Tarkin novel, and then we're going to be busting into the ocean of rumors that has this tidal wave that has been created from the impact of the meteor that is the teaser trailer that hit us a couple weeks ago. So, having said that, without further ado, why don't we just do it and jump straight into reviews?
Oh, yeah. Time for some reviews.
Again, I instinctively started pulling my pants off.
Vader's coming in.
Yeah, but he's not coming in.
Wait a minute.
He's not coming in.
Hold on. Think about it before you finish that.
I would have been better if you'd let me finish it. Now it sounds awful.
He's not coming in himself.
He's dancing in, is what I was going to say.
Oh,
but okay. Thank you. And then Howie You're making welcome. It far worse.
I ruined it.
Yeah, you guys are awful, but that's great. So, all right, what's going on with
Rebels.
Okay?
All right, the 30 second Rebels review.
Yeah, always lightning fast.
Gathering Forces, episode 7-ish.
Seven,
Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
Yeah.
The end of the season. Seven episodes in.
The second part of a two-parter.
Right. And I think we're finding out that it's more like a mid-season finale.
Which is what I think everyone expected it to be, but they waited till the last minute.
Right. We're just finding this out.
Episode 8 of season 1 is coming out on January 5th, 2015.
Exactly.
So you know, and they're still calling. Longer. So they're calling it. They're calling it season 1, not season 2, right?
Yes, they're still calling.
See, that it makes me feel good because
season 2 will be longer too.
Well, I went out and I bought season 1 on my Amazon account Amazon Prime. So I'm glad to hear.
Yes,
you'll be getting more seven episodes. It'll be more. So yeah.
I'm well done.
Excited about that.
Initial investment confirmed.
Yes.
ROI.
I wondered because it was like $35. Seven episodes.
Oh man.
Okay.
That would be infuriating. I believe
episode 8 has been titled Path of the Jedi or something of the Jedi. Ooh, I probably should have written that down before.
Revengeance
of the Jedi.
The Jedi's. That's great.
Okay.
So what happened in this episode?
Gathering Forces was the title episode. 7.
Where did we leave off in the to be continued? We left
off at the to be continued. The Ghost and the crew are being chased by a bunch of TIE fighters.
Uh-huh.
And Sebo, the Rodian with the Lobot implant, just dropped a bomb on Ezra.
Right.
He knows what happens. There you go, Howie. He knows what happened to Ezra's parents.
Bum, bum, bum.
And then it kind of goes to be continued. Well, the opening of this show, it doesn't really get resolved right away because they're being attacked by squadron upon squadron of TIE fighters, and also two Imperial Star Destroyers are chasing them as well. So they ended up jumping to hyperspace and they fought off TIE fighters first, then jumped to hyperspace, but not before the Inquisitor tagged him with a homing beacon.
What?
They can't track them in hyperspace, can they?
Or can they?
They can't with a homing beacon.
Oh. Well, good thing they have Zeebo with his Imperial knowledge implant thingies on his head, because he lets them know it's a new tracking beacon by none other than Sinar Fleet Systems. If you may recognize.
Couple times now we've heard Sinar.
So it is official. More canon than it was before, I guess.
More canon than canon?
It's
more
super canonized.
Yeah, man. So he lets them know the tracking device is aboard the ship, and they find that the Inquisitor stupidly shot it on the part that detaches from the ship.
Yep, he shot it onto the not the ghost or the specter, the phantom.
Yes.
Which is the shuttle phantom that detaches from the back of the ghost.
Little part.
Yeah.
So Kanan has a bright idea to, hey, why don't we detach in hyperspace and go to that? You remember that?
Which I thought was incredibly bold of them to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was worried that it was going to be a no thing. I was worried about that.
Right. Well, something emerging from hyperspace early without an interdictor was in the TIE Fighter game, and it didn't end too well.
Yeah. Yep. No, that was the very end of the TIE Fighter game.
Explosions. Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
I liked that they, I mean, because you're right. They you thought, oh, they could just do that. It's not going to be no thing. I like that they at least took a second for Sabine to say, whoa, wait a minute. That is incredibly dangerous. You know?
Yeah.
We can't do that.
That's nuts. Don't be up in that.
Apparently, Sabine overestimates all danger in the entire galaxy. Because every time she says that, they're like, it's all right.
It's fine. Hey, Mom.
We're the heroes. It turns out all right in the end.
I'll clean my room when I get back.
Yeah. So Kanan brings Ezra aboard with him aboard the Phantom, and they detach in hyperspace. And I thought this part was really cool, where they kind of detach and
they come out. Yeah,
they slowly revert to real space as they, I guess, are feeling this. I don't know, gravity.
Yeah. As their lunches are trying to make their way back up through their esophaguses. Yeah.
So they detach and eventually come out of hyperspace safely and go to the asteroid that we saw in the earlier episode. Where,
all right. Reuse of resources. Yeah. High fives all around.
Crazy.
Way to keep it under budget, shadow fellas.
Living monsters. And there you go.
Yeah. It's the same episode that we saw that Hera and Sabine visited. Yeah.
Out of darkness.
The same base where they had visited in their episode.
So they're like, well, that's a bright idea. We can lead them here because we still have the tracker, and maybe, I guess Kanan in the back of his head's like, maybe I can teach Ezra a few things about animal control, I guess.
Which he's tried before.
Right. Yes, he's tried before.
Prior episode,
a few episodes ago, and it was just an utter failure.
Right.
He realizes Ezra kind of only learns when he's like flying by the seat of his pants or in extreme danger or.
Right. He learns from need.
He learns from need.
Yeah. But the whole idea of this and them breaking off and going to this, this place that they've already been is to allow Hera and the rest of the crew of the Ghost to go seek out Fulcrum and drop off Sibo, right? Keep him safely away from the Empire.
Right.
Correct. They're just running interference for them while they accomplish that mission. So they go to the abandoned clone base where these monsters are and kind of come out and are almost instantly attacked by these things. And Kanan's not really helping Ezra defend him. He's like, hey, you got to do this yourself, buddy.
Yeah, Kanan totally cool the whole time.
Right.
He's like, everything's fine. Go ahead and get mauled. Yeah.
It's a good learning experience.
Yeah, those scars will stay. You'll remember.
Every scar has a story, right?
Exactly.
So Ezra's having troubles, and Kanan's trying to draw out of him, hey, what's the matter with you? Why are you holding back? Why are you holding back? And it seems like Ezra is still kind of holding a grudge against what happened to his parents. And he has that certain attachment that keeps him from, I guess, totally accessing his force sensibilities or whatever. Right. So he ends up saying, you know, Sibo, I forgive you. And at that moment, he opens his eyes and all these monsters that were attacking him are sitting there.
It's a really powerful moment.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Yeah. It's the way he's come, because I mean, Kanan's drawn out of it. It's kind of like Jack Nicholson versus Tom Cruise in the courtroom scene. Where it's like, you know, what do you want? Blah, blah, blah. I want the truth. You get it. Like, he's yelling at him, and Ezra's yelling back, no, I can't. And he's like, you need to let go, and all that stuff. And it builds up, and then kaboom, you know?
So it seems like, he had like maybe a blockage there that he just lets go, and all of a sudden the river of the force just like crashes through him there.
That's great.
I was channeling Josh there.
Yeah, I know. I was totally ready for the diuretic turn there, and thankfully it didn't hit.
So he ends up, pacifying these monsters. They're called, I learned later, Fyrnox.
Really?
Yeah, Fyrnox. I guess they're some sort of offshoot of Minok. I don't know. I made that up.
Okay, fair enough. It's a knock of a kind.
The Inquisitor
of tracks him to this Phyla knock. No, sorry, Phylum.
Yes,
Phylum knock. Phylum.
It's they're in the same kingdom, maybe.
Yes.
Everything's in the same kingdom, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds right. I did not do well in biology.
I did not either.
Let alone space biology.
Speaking of biology, Inquisitor finds them or attracts them to this planet where he thinks they're at.
The Inquisitor holds a PhD in biology. That was the tie in there. Totally. You guys didn't know that.
Yep.
Anytime you guys, anytime Howie and Mike feel like jumping in and joining the podcast, you guys just let us know.
Yeah.
They're both just browsing.
I don't think Howie saw this show. You didn't see
that's true.
Howie's only seen the first time.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Mike doesn't like Rebels.
I was going to jump in when it was appropriate, and I am letting.
You're letting it breathe?
I'm letting Garrett give us our synopsis.
Okay. All right.
So they get him there and they're like, oh, look, there's the ship, but it's not the right ship. And then where we see, and I think this is a really cool moment as well. And I think just overall, this is one of my favorite episodes. And of this episode, this is my favorite part where Kanan and Ezra are just kind of kneeling there.
In meditation, right?
Yeah. And Inquisitor comes sauntering in.
Everybody walks up. The stormtroopers are getting ready to charge. And then they see him and then they stop and they're like, what's
going on? And all they do is they lift and simultaneously they lifted their hands and pointed to the storm
with their eyes still closed,
right. With their eyes closed. And it was so powerful. The music, it just gave me goosebumps. That was their command for these Furnox to just rush out and attack and just maul the stormtroopers to death.
Yeah.
So that was a awesome moment. I think
the Inquisitor is not having much problem with them.
Right. Now,
but the stormtroopers got nothing to go with.
Yeah, they got destroyed.
Let's stop here for a second. Is there a name attached to this force ability?
Animal husbandry.
What?
Animal control-ish.
I mean, have we seen this before?
Force animal husbandry.
I'm trying to remember if we've seen this before in the EU.
Yes, we have.
Yes, in the EU we have.
With Jason. Oh, that's really right. Jason was very good at this.
From like a toddler age, Jason was exceptional communicating with animals.
And I think that's what really like hit me hard is like, oh, they are using aspects from the EU and just the Jedi. They don't have their lightsabers drawn. They're using just the surroundings around them to fight for them.
Yeah.
I was like, I like this really a lot because I mean, especially through the prequels, I think Jedi just kind of became sanitized and you just kind of got the
play people.
Exactly. You just kind of, got the impression that they all had the same abilities and blah, blah, blah.
Aggressive negotiations. But
one of the things that I love about the EU is that in the EU, for example, one of our favorite characters, Qorn Horn, you know, everybody always equates Jedi with being able to move things telekinetically.
Yeah.
Qorn Horn couldn't do that at all.
He couldn't. He sucked.
Was awful at it.
Well, he could, but it would take a lot.
Right. It took a lot of concentration,
energy. Whereas he could project a reality into your mind almost accidentally.
Right.
In fact, one time when he's training and sitting around, he's trying to lift a boulder, was it? And he's so confident that he's actually doing it. And everybody in the room is like, wow, he's actually doing it. He's doing it.
And then they realize
he's not. He just was trying so hard that he projected the image into everybody's head. Right. And they're like, what did you do? And he's like, I don't know.
He even got Luke. And Luke's like, wow.
Yeah, Luke's like, wait, really that was messed up.
Over me.
Yeah. See, that's what I love here is that they're focusing on.
Or no, for my Jedi, sorry.
I like that they're focusing on a specific, you know, power. And obviously, and we'll see this here in a minute as we continue the synopsis. But, you know, that this is a power that that Ezra obviously is very adept at, and we'll see in a minute.
Even though he's been really terrible at it so far, but Mike, before we move on, to just put a real strong point on what you're saying about the EU powers. When I saw episode one, and I sat down, you know, opening day, 10 a.m. show, and I was sitting there. The first things we see, you know, are all right, really cool Republic ships landing on this kind of weird looking Trade Federation ship, and out walk our two heroes, and everything seems really kind of anticlimactic and odd, which at that point I was just taking in stride. But as soon as the fighting starts, you know what I mean? The lightsabers are drawn, they come out, they cut through a door. Okay, sweet, finally, someone's using a lightsaber to cut through something.
Different way, right.
Which we've seen a ton of in the EU, right?
Right.
They get through the door, and then because the question is always, why don't people just cut through doors with lightsabers? There you go.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. Then they fight some droids, and then what do? They force ran down the hall at super speed. And I was immediately like, force run.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Finally had it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They did another thing where they like force jumped, which we've only seen really Luke do that other than Vader sailing around and stuff like that. Just like seeing some of that happen early on, I was so excited. Now that movie dashed my hopes upon the rocks.
Right.
But early on, I was just like, those were like, I was like, yes, 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 yes. These are the things I want to see. And so then, to see another one come in through this vehicle, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. And it has nothing to do with just like kicking people in the face and slicing things.
Right. See, and that's what was, that's one of the things I did like about episode one, but then when we get to episode two and you know, the battle of Geonosis, well, and there's, yeah, but a, there's a million, the, it's like, I thought it would be so cool to see a million Jedi fighting and stuff. And I was like, it so wasn't.
Well, yeah, but no, but you did have the telekinetic force salad carving scene.
We did have that. You did have
that. So that was, you know, no. But you're right.
Playing with balls.
The giant scene in the Geonosian arena was just Jedi. They were just kicking and swinging their sabers. Right. And every now and then someone would reach a hand out and knock something down. That's it.
Right. Force push people down and
And then smile at the
example
camera.
Example of, you know, the force affecting the environment around them. It's almost like an internal.
Yeah, showing that the Jedi have an awareness, like a higher level of awareness of their surroundings.
Do you remember? Yeah. And I can't remember. I think it was the Jedi Academy series where I think the Jedi were doing some missions together and they were doing mind melds. Or was that later in the Vong series with Jason and Jaina?
Mind melds weren't really that much of a thing.
That's not, wait, mind melds.
Well, yeah, no, that when they put their hands against each other's faces and my thoughts is your thoughts.
No, God.
Are you talking about the battle thing, the battle trance or?
Yeah, battle meditation. Right. Battle meditation to me, that would have been cool to show Jedi working together in a way to do something more effective than them just swinging swords around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, you know, show me something new.
Because
and cool
in the EU, they were able to do that. They were able to work together.
Every author wanted to add something to it. But with the prequels, it was just like, eh.
Yeah.
Just fight, cut heads off, and right arms.
Yeah. They're just samurai swinging swords.
That part was, I thought, really got to me. Just that simple, you know,
that gesture.
The finger. Yeah, the gesture. And that's all they did. So these Furnox are attacking the stormtroopers. The Inquisitor's kind of like, eh, whatever. And starts cutting them up. So they end up have to result to, I guess, what is it, aggressive negotiations? So they ended up, Kanan ends up finding the Inquisitor and getting his butt handed to him, gets knocked out against a wall.
Pretty quickly.
Again, showing the power of the Inquisitor and the lack of, and I still love this fact that Kanan was never fully trained as a Jedi.
Yeah.
And that is glaringly clear.
Because he sucks when it comes to fighting another Force user.
Right.
As powerful as he is with the telekinesis, and he is ridiculously powerful with telekinesis. Right.
Overpowered.
Way overpowered. He sucks.
He doesn't have the formal training. Right. Yeah. He does not have the formal training.
Which is good that he's not an all-powerful Jedi, I'm glad. Thank goodness.
It fits the time frame, though, because this is a time where the Jedi are not all-powerful.
Right.
This is a time where they're in hiding, and they're running, and they're scared, and
scrambling.
Like I said, I love that they're treating it this way, because it'd be so easy to just write Jedi the way we've seen them throughout the prequels and the Clone Wars.
Ninja kick.
Yeah, just crazy, crazy insane punch. Power and all that stuff. I'm just glad that they're sticking with the time frame and making, you know, Kanan struggle and Ezra's training is a struggle and all of it, you know, is tough. It's not easy for them.
Yeah. Speaking of Ezra, Inquisitor rounds on him and starts to get closer to him, and Ezra gets his back pushed against the cliff.
Yeah, Inquisitor starts being a real dink at Ezra. Yeah. Like, they weren't pulling the punch, you're the kid, I'll ignore you. It's like, no, I'm really verbose, but just so you know, I'm going to murder you right now.
Yeah,
but he gives him an out. He says, hey, I could train you to do sweet stuff with the dark side, but
he doesn't start out that
way. You're going to die.
He only says that after he realizes exactly how frightened Ezra is, and he realizes that Ezra has the ability to, you know, he starts to see that Ezra is turnable. Only at that point does he dangle the temptation for a fleeting moment.
Right.
It's not like that's his mission. That's his goal. Say, no, he's there to murder everybody.
Because out of the gates, he looks at him. He looks at Ezra and he goes, this is how the story ends. Yep. You know,
you're going to die.
All your friends, all the things that you thought you were going to do
is going to be gone.
Right. And then what happens next, I think, would kind of probably change the Inquisitor's mind solidify it and thinking he could be turned. Ezra kind of goes into his Dragon Ball Z power up mode.
Yeah. His hair turns blonde. And
Rocks started levitating.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a cool part. The rocks and the dust around him. You're like, oh, what is going to happen?
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, my gosh. Oh, crap. And he's like, you know, this huge mama or daddy Frynok comes out from under him.
Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon?
Yes.
And the second one, the mommy dragon essentially is what this is. This thing that just comes up out of this crevasse.
Yeah, you thought these at the beginning of this episode they thought they were big monsters coming out fighting the stormtroopers. Yeah. No, this one is. You're amazingly huge.
The Mamma Jamma.
Just the fact that Ezra has that kind of can influence that big of a creature.
A few hours ago, couldn't do anything.
Right. No. And we're talking like Rancor size.
Yeah, easily.
Right.
And the big problem with this is the look on his face. He just has this anger and this frustration. This
like rage.
And, kind of implied that he's tapping into the darker side of the Force to accomplish control of this giant beast.
Well, and it's reiterated with the fact that Kanan kind of comes to at that point and looks at him and goes, no,
he's like, no, he's like,
don't do that.
Yeah, oh, thing you're doing. I should have mentioned.
Like, oh crap!
By the way,
oh yeah, there's a bad
FYI, dark side stuff. Bad.
Dark side point.
roll 1d6.
Oh, I rolled it. Yep, you're corrupted.
But this ends up saving their lives, right?
Yes, it ends up saving the life. It attacks the Inquisitor.
Oh, yeah.
Inquisitor's
unlike still the regular able ones,
to fight it off, even though it's five times its size.
But barely. I mean, that thing is smacking him around.
Right. You actually see, I mean,
he gets scared.
I was going to say, you look at the Inquisitor and he's like, whoa.
Wait a
minute.
And
you're right. It's funny because it's this mixture of, oh crap, I've got to fight this thing. But then he's looking at Ezra, and I think Garrick's right. He's got this, their wheels are turning in his head. He's like, wait a minute, there's something else going on. I mean, you know, this might be, we're not going to just kill this kid.
There's something weird going on here.
I guess the exertion kind of makes Ezra pass out. So he kind of collapses to the floor right as Kanan's starting to get his feet.
Pansy.
So he grabs,
how he taps into the dark side all the time. Yeah,
seriously.
He should have tapped into the dark side to keep himself awake.
I drive when I'm on dark side. man.
So Kanan grabs Ezra and they're escaping, and the Inquisitor manages to fight off the beast and manage to take one last saber, I guess, throw at Kanan, and Kanan deflects it. They're able to escape and back to the ghost, and everything's hunky-dory, except that Ezra feels cold, I guess. And
Well, and Ezra, heart to heart. He kind of wakes up and doesn't really know what had happened.
Yeah, this memory's just gone, and Kanan's says it's probably for the best.
Yeah, and he also, Kanan goes, and that'll happen.
Yeah. I didn't see, that's something they've never really touched on. It's like,
what happens when you first give yourself over to the dark side?
I guess you just forget about it.
Well, most of the time when we've seen characters give themselves over to the dark side, they kind of stay there at least for a time. Even in the New Jedi Order, when Jaina was starting to go dark, you know what I mean? As she stayed there for months, she had problems making wise decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, it messed with her. So to see someone just dip into it so strongly, but then come right back out of it, it's kind of a new thing. Even given the EU, it's kind of newish.
Right. Which I guess it really speaks to, like, the dark side not only corrupts like your body, but it also corrupts your mind. You can see that in Vader and, you know, Palpatine. They're corrupted beyond what they used to be. I'm not so much Palpatine, but Vader, I mean, he used to be a okay kid, I guess. He ended up killing or choking his own pregnant wife at the end of the...
That's true. It's true. Yeah, so, that kid. Yeah,
so that was cool how they kind of did that. And we get a look at Fulcrum's ship.
Which I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up because... at the end of the episode, right? I mean, it's clearly the Tantive IV, right?
It's the Tantive IV. Well, it is.
I don't know.
It is a Corellian Corvette. Corvette. And the Tantive IV did have blue markings in episode 3. Episode 3, the Tantive IV had blue markings. It wasn't the first time we see it with red markings is in episode 4.
The Tantive IV, for those who don't know, is Bail Organa's ship.
The very first ship you see in Star Wars that Leia is on and is being taken, you know, is being sucked up into the butthole of a Star Destroyer is the Blockade Runner / Corellian Corvette / callsign Tantive IV. Right.
So that is Bail Organa's ship.
Alderaan cruiser.
Yeah, whatever they call it these days. Yeah.
And when they're there, I mean, it's clear that they're, again, they're delivering SIBO to Fulcrum.
Right.
Yeah. You know, their secret source.
And Bail Organa was on that ship already in this series.
Right. We've seen that. But
seen the ship, yes.
But Bail Organa has a way of lending things out too.
He does. Well, yeah,
he's not true. Always on that ship because if he's you remember, Captain Antilles is the one that actually pilots that ship.
Right.
Or that's a good
commands
point.
That ship.
Right.
Captain's, so
it is not necessarily his only ship.
Right. So right. I mean, so the assumption that it must be Bail Organa, I think that's misdirection. I think they're
right.
Yeah, it could be.
Right.
It could
I still think the theory that. You know, I still subscribe to
which
the
we talked about in our Fulcrum, last rumors cast,
right? That Fulcrum is Ahsoka Tano. That's what I still subscribe to, even though I think that was very intentional on their part.
Oh yeah,
to say it's Bail Organa.
Yeah, no, look, see, that's him. We're gonna surprise you. We're gonna surprise you. Why does Fulcrum have to be one? Can't we all be Fulcrum? I'm a little Fulcrum. R2 is Fulcrum.
Yeah, oh, you heard it here first.
My head just exploded.
Boom.
That would not be surprising to me.
Now, remind me, I can't remember. Sebo and Ezra did not get a chance to chat.
I don't remember. No,
they only chatted in his, I guess, the Force, where he said, "I forgive you,
Sebo." Yeah, yeah.
They did not get to, because if you remember at the end of the prior episode, Empire Day, that, Sebo said, "I know what happened to your parents." So, right. But there was no resolution.
He was talking to Hera, and he said, "I didn't get a chance." And Hera said, "Tell me."
Right.
And so it wasn't clear whether he told her or not.
Theoretically, Hera now knows the fate of
Hera. Hera tried Ezra's to parents. Tell him later at the end of the episode, but
did she?
You know, Kanan was like, "Hey, he's been through a lot."
That's right. He's like, "Give him."
You're right. Okay, I missed that. You're absolutely right.
So Ezra went up into the gun turret, and we see Sabine come in with that familiar data disc that she stole from Ezra's old house, and ends up being a picture of him and his family when he was younger.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Here, you know, I was able to, you know, clean it up and get it working somewhat. So here, take a look."
And yeah, she slaps it in and he just kind of sits back and looks at the picture of his family. Episode.
Now I want to see if you guys notice this too. Have you seen Sabine's attitude toward Ezra change over the last couple
episodes? Oh yeah.
It's kind of cool how it's changed.
She's taking a vested interest in him, but I really don't want it to become romantic. I want her to be, I want it to be big sister, little brother kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm not sure that it will. I don't think they'll go that way.
I don't think so either.
At least not yet. I mean,
they started off with Ezra fishing in that pond.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, yeah, he's an adolescent.
What, 14-year-old boys? What don't they hit on? Anything. They're 14.
Right. And that's
to me, that's
clearly not Sabine's interest in him. I think her interest in him, and we've yet to find out a lot about Sabine. I think what we're going to find out is that Sabine perhaps has a similar story or something that's relatable, you know, in the fact that what's happened to her family, because we've yet to find out anything about her family and what's happened to them.
And we all know that Steve Petrie is just hoping that it's not that she's the daughter of Satine.
This is true.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah. No, Satine and Prince Caspian or whatever the crap his name is.
Prince Caspian.
I still resent the whole Mandalore treatment in Clone Wars. Anything bad I say about Clone Wars ever, which is usually every Rumors episode, I will talk smack about Clone Wars, is through the filter of the fact that I hate what they did with Mandalore. So just always put it through that, because it's always getting amped up a little bit because I'm still resentful of that.
Try to tell myself that Mandalore went through a big change once the end of the Clone Wars came.
Reaching its puberty right at the time when the war was taking place.
And that by the time we get to the Vong War and after and Karen Travis novels, that
farmers it's just and a farmer. All those cities, no one remembers them at all.
They just crumble to the ground.
Hey, do we have a princess or a queen? Exactly. No, shut up. What are you talking about? We're tribal.
Exactly.
Well, even in the prequel novels, the Karen Travis ones with the.
Don't tell me this.
The clone troopers. Mandalore was like what we thought it was.
Yeah.
Karen Travis pretty much invented.
No, yeah, it absolutely.
The Mandalore we know.
She really did. Well, she
the Republic Commando books. That's what it was.
She honed it. We had an idea of it, but no one had ever really fleshed it out, and she fleshed it out. So Clone Wars literally, I mean, just ripped the Band-Aid. Of all the things they did, I think that was the most blatant of hiking up their skirt and taking a fat squat all over the EU canon. Wow.
Because those books didn't come out too long before those episodes.
No, they didn't. But you know what? Only a
couple years.
I maintain that was Lucas. If Filoni had anything. I'm fine with what that. I've seen with
Filoni. I'm fine with believing that. I don't care.
Look, you can still rationalize it by saying You know, okay, there you have one grand city, but the rest of the planet is a bunch of farmers.
So Mike.
Come on, you got to rationalize it somehow.
You give too much of yourself, sir.
Makes you feel better.
So, hey, overall, I felt like this episode was a great tie-off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if this was something, absolutely. I always think about it in terms, like, when it comes to new shows, what a lot of times what you run into is, like, in a mid-season, you're like, oh, wow, that seemed to resolve a lot of emotional issues that were brought up early on. And then you get to the end of the full first season, and you're like, oh, wow, if they tied it off now, it'd be okay. And then you get to the end of the second season, you're like, cliffhanger! Because what? I feel like they're like, all right, we're going to get, if we get canceled after half a season, we still want it to be a complete story. And they're like, all right, we got renewed for second half of a season. We still want it to be a complete story. Like, all right, we got renewed for season two. Let's go nuts.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And so this felt like, it felt like that. It felt like, all right, if they had gotten canceled, canned at this point, it was still a good story and it rounded out well.
Yep.
But now we know there is more to come. Right. So we'll see what happens at the end of season one.
Right.
I have a feeling with the popularity of this one, they'll know before we get that far in that they're going to be coming back for season two. Yeah. So I don't know. What'd you think? What do you think, Garrick?
Like I said earlier, I think this was probably, if not my favorite episode, definitely in the top five.
Top five of seven?
Yeah. No, it's definitely my favorite episode just because of the different elements that they use, like coming out of hyperspace just randomly and just the using the force environment around them and just all the different things. I think it was a real good end to that kind of story arc that they had going on.
It felt like it was this one, and we talk a lot about the different nuanced things they do and the details and the minutiae that is a nod to EU, but I will just say that, you know, forget the EU for a second. This one felt more like they were paying attention to the fact that it was Star Wars.
Yes.
And I don't mean then other episodes. I mean, like, compared to other sci-fis who dip in and out of different franchises and stuff, this one felt like this is Star Wars and this is happening in Star Wars, not we have a story and we're plugging it into the Star Wars mold.
Right.
This felt like every part about the story was put together as Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was no detail that felt out of place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this episode a lot. I give it 7 Dubaks out of 8 Kawaki and Monkey Lizards.
Nice.
And Dubaks are bigger than Monkey Lizards, so that's like more than 10.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good point.
Well, all right, boys. We're still talking about reviews. We need to talk about Tarkin.
We do.
Tarkin. We need to switch it over. Howie.
All right, everybody.
The bastion of Star Wars knowledge.
Take a nap, and then we'll talk about Tarkin, and then we'll come back.
Wake me up. How long is this going to take?
I don't know.
So Howie just finished Tarkin, and so he's got all of it.
It's all alive in his brain. Nothing has fallen out. It's all in there.
And Garrick even has half of it red. So
you are the tree of Tarkin from which we will pluck the ripened fruit.
I am going to be completely honest. And I think this says a lot about the book. I have forgotten a lot already. I'm sitting here like, okay, we're going to talk about Tarkin. I'm like, okay, they did this. Why did they do that?
Who and what and where?
Dang it.
That was a thing.
So like the James Luceno that we know from like Cloak of Deception and things like that, it was politics heavy, right?
Very politics heavy.
But we talk about that like it's a bad thing. No, I like politics. It's not that Luceno. Hey, Luceno writes a lot. No, he just writes boring. It's not that it's politics.
Well, here's the thing. There's some Luceno books that I like, and actually Book of Deception is one of them.
Yeah.
I thought that was decent.
I've defended them too. I think
Darth Plagueis.
He is a
Plagueis. A lot of people like Plagueis.
I'm not saying he's a bad author, not by any means, because the way he writes absolutely is the pinnacle of appeal to a lot of people. Mm. I'm just not one of those people, and I hate that. I want to be.
It's a different style though than what classic.
Well, we say Star classic. Wars. Well, we've traditionally, you know, my favorite authors are very, very different.
Your
Anderson. But there's been a wide variety of Star Wars authors, and he happens to be a part of the spectrum where I just, I will fall asleep reading his books.
He doesn't write the adventure. He just writes the atmosphere the adventure takes.
There's a lot of narrative.
That's a good way to put it.
A lot of internal monologues happening.
Yes.
And
that's I don't want a lot of internal monologue. Show me, don't tell me.
That's where I start to get lost in the little details and start to forget those because I'm like, my brain starts to tune out.
Yeah, see, you listen to it. When I read his books, I literally start skipping paragraphs.
Yeah.
Because I know he's going to spend the next three paragraphs talking about a rank insignia on someone's lapel, and I will just skip.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Does.
Yeah.
he really does. Yeah.
I just got done with a part that described down to a detail what Tarkin was wearing. I'm like,
See? Well,
that was a big part of it. It was wearing. A big part of it. He was designing a new uniform.
Yeah. That's right.
So he was describing it.
Wow.
Yeah. Very detailed. He was. Yeah. But
Tarkin's at his tailor. You know, make sure you give me that. He's got a cigar in his mouth. Make sure you give me that double stitch.
That's not too far off. Yeah. He's such a nice guy.
I'm going to give him an extra stitch for free.
Out of curiosity, what was the page count on this?
Round 260.
260, okay. That's not very long. Yeah, for a Luciano, that's about what I could stand.
I feel so bad because I know he's a good author. I know that people really love his work, but just not us.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible about that.
Well, let me just say, it is definitely, for me, it was definitely worth the listen.
Right.
Just to get more into Tarkin's world and understand where he came from, who he is, why he is the way he is.
Right.
It gave me much a bigger respect for what Luke and the Rebels did in episode 4. Because now you're like, okay, well, Tarkin's no slouch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and, you know, he's pretty badass.
So, I mean, a big part of this book was the relationship between Palpatine, Vader, and Tarkin. Yeah.
And
what did you learn? I mean, what did you take away from that? I mean, what's the dynamic that we're missing?
Well, there's a couple interesting things there. Palpatine or Sidious was talking about.
Is he still going by Sidious at this point, or have they abandoned that moniker?
They called him by several different names, depending including on how they're
Sheev.
Referencing him.
Sheev, the big reveal. Yeah.
They only called him Sheev once. That was only in there once.
Flashback, though.
Yeah, that was a flashback. Lots of flashback.
Really?
Oh my God.
It was another frustration of mine. I don't like time play.
The pacing was okay. We have the story arc, and then before we get to this part of the story arc, we go to this flashback that kind of why he's doing what he's doing in the main story arc.
And real quick on that, Howie, I don't know if this is because I'm reading on an old school like Nook Touch, but the flashbacks, there's a break, like a line, but there's no indention, a paragraph. So I don't know when the flashback ends and the current, you know, story arc begins.
That would be frustrating. Yeah.
So I'm kind of reading and then I get lost. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah. The chapter breaks are terrible too, because it's like, they should have had more chapters to break up the
well, you know, pacing, part of that's the author's fault though, too. I mean, it should be clear. I hate when authors do that.
We'll go through several different systems within the same chapter and do several different topics, it feels like. Mm. But back to the Vader, Trinity there. one interesting thing that he brought up was that Palpatine, Tarkin, and Vader came out of the same 20% arc of space of the universe,
outer rim. Galaxy,
and all from the Outer Rim.
Palpatine's from the Outer Rim.
They didn't
Naboo.
Yeah,
they Naboo didn't, is Outer Rim.
Yeah, I didn't know Naboo was Outer Rim.
No, yeah, they made a big point of this because they all came from
all three of them.
They came from unprivileged backgrounds.
They didn't come from Chandrila or the Coruscant Corellia, Thythera,
another interesting. Well, and he kind of alluded to the point. Well, you know, that has to mean something. The dark side is telling us that this means something, that we're coming from this. And another interesting point was, why do I have to draw a blank right when I was bringing that up?
Just wrapping it all up in a neat little package, snipping the bows.
Yeah, but I'll remember that at some point. But
there is a lot of mention of Ahsoka Tano as well.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
yes.
Interesting. In what regard?
Because
Tarkin, for those who don't know, in the Clone Wars series, he's the one that was prosecuting Ahsoka Tano.
I did not know
that. They bring that. They brought that up.
I did not know that.
He was the one that prosecuted her in the trial.
I really need to watch this season.
Yes, you do.
That was a good episode. But they bring that actual instance up in the book that he was prosecuting Ahsoka Tano. I think, cool. You know, because he kind of figures out that, or he thinks he knows that Vader's really Anakin Skywalker early on.
Yeah.
Is it a secret? Is that something that's not known?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a secret.
Yeah, it's not widely known.
So Vader just showed up out of nowhere in the minds of the public?
Well, the way he writes it is nobody really knows, but there's a lot of rumors, where he really came from.
I don't think I ever considered that people didn't know that Vader was Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Well, I mean, I mean, Luke obviously didn't know. I didn't think it was something that people chat about all the time.
I'm the opposite. I did assume that. I assumed that, you know, Vader was just...
I figured that anybody that wanted to find out would find out.
I mean, to me, I mean, once the Empire took over, I mean, I don't think there was any need to parade Vader out there, you know, put him on the holovids and everything.
So what's the story? Anakin was murdered by Jedi terrorist Obi-Wan Kenobi on Lava Planet Mustafar.
They didn't really go into that. The Jedi were purged.
Okay,
yeah,
Anakin and Obi-Wan were rock stars of the Republic.
Right. 66.
They were just straight up 66. Yeah. But they were total rock stars. They were like warrior heroes. They were the face of the war and everything to everybody. So I never realized that, the story of Anakin just ended to everybody. I figured it would just kind of, everybody knew. It was like, yeah, he stuck around with that guy.
And I remember the other point I was going to make Palpatine made a point that says that not only do force sensitive people have trials, that there are some very special non force sensitive people who are that go through trials.
Oh yeah.
And he highly regarded Tarkin because of those trials, because he knew about what he had gone through on his home planet of
Eridu, or is that how it's pronounced?
For one second, can we go back to Ahsoka Tano? Was there any mention of going after her, looking for her? I mean,
no.
Mike's grasping at straws here.
That's because he wants to be more interested in this.
There's nothing in there that
I'm interested in Ahsoka. I love that character.
There's nothing in there that led me to think,
it was just a fleeting mention that he had prosecuted her in the trial.
Well, he talked about a lot of people. I mean, a lot of the mentions of tons
that Tarkin name drops like Craig,
Mahdi, and Gerard.
Never invite that guy to a party. Oh my god,
General Grievous.
If you look at the list of characters in there, it mentions the characters. It's crazy. None of them.
That's like 100 pages of the book right there.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Bible where it just starts.
Lineage of, and Grievous beget Dooku.
it's really kind of a neat way to look at Tarkin, I guess. You got to get past the read of it. There's literally, I would look and like, I just listened to 2 or 3 minutes and I have no idea what just
happened. Wikipedia to the rescue.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
What I really liked about it was, you know, they started talking about the trials, because his ship was named the Kurian Spike. Is that right?
Yes.
Right. You mentioned this, that the main plot line was that Tarkin's ship was stolen. Is that right?
Oh yeah, I guess before Rebels were Rebels.
Disregard all the flashbacks and everything else. Yeah. Kind of, there's a main line in real time, and that main line is
all 25 pages of that main line.
That's the thing, is that the flashbacks talked about how he's going to think about pursuing these people who captured his Kurian Spike ship, which was named after the trials that he had gone through. They were trying to be, they captured the ship just to make a huge, basically a huge ruckus, to encourage more people to be rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was Vader and Tarkin going after the ship. Before it was even captured, they went to not Merker.
That would sound awesome. A lot like it.
That would have been. I'd have been like, "What? Ahsoka Tano? What?"
There was a large stash of things there.
Large stash of things.
Not Wayland.
No. It was a new planet. that I've never heard of before.
Anyways, so yeah, they went there to investigate this. Palpatine had sent them off to together to be friends, work together.
Yeah,
And that's where it ended up
getting stolen. Daddy's gonna play poker. Yeah. You guys go play.
They were going into it thinking, "Hey, this is a trap. We know this is a trap.
It's a tarp."
They didn't realize what kind of trap it was going to be. In fact, they were actually after their ship. And so they took the ship and that. So then they're chasing around the galaxy trying to find the ship. And originally Vader's like tracking it through because he had brought his
meditation sphere
on that trip. Yeah. So he was tracking it through there, through hyperspace. And eventually these guys were smart.
Yeah.
Who stole the ship. And they eventually jettisoned that. And they created a lot of havoc. But eventually, in the end, they got caught and died.
Execution.
That's a good ending.
Although Teller was the captain of the rebels,
the one that didn't talk,
the pre-rebels.
Yeah, he didn't
talk. Yeah, it's funny that his name Teller, because he didn't tell anybody anything, because Teller doesn't talk.
Well, he talked.
No, Teller never talks.
Oh, okay.
Unless you talk to him off stage, according to Mike.
He does talk off stage. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you don't mean Penn and Teller.
No, not Penn and Teller.
Oh, see, again, the book got more interesting to me.
But he was so wanting to get Tarkin at the end that he followed Tarkin to his home planet and tried to entrap him. But Tarkin already knew that this was going on and he fell in a pit and suffered injuries. And Tarkin was like,
"Oh, I fell down. Yeah. Ouch."
You know, Star Wars, for all of the technology,
it was a pit that Tarkin had created. How many
people get murdered by falling down or eaten by animals? I'm just saying.
He wasn't murdered. He was injured. Ankled injury.
Ankle.
And
Tarkin said, "Amazing how many ankle injuries a result of falling down and eaten by animals." I'm just saying.
Yeah, Tarkin said, "If you get out of this and get free of this, and you come up to me later, I will tell you about what they're working on." Of course, that being the Death Star,
right?
And that's the way the book ended.
Why would he say that? That sounds dumb.
Because
did he rip off a Scooby-Doo mask?
He wanted the possibility of him actually being out there to keep him, Tarkin himself, on his toes.
Dumb.
So,
sorry.
Get it?
I get dumb. It.
It's dumb the way I explained it. Not necessarily dumb the way you read it in the book.
Well, okay, Howie, I'll put some of the blame on you.
You're calling Howie dumb.
I don't know.
I'm not the best book reviewer.
I never like it when you have really logical characters go, "I'm going to leave this loophole open because reasons."
Yeah. Well, you get a feel for Tarkin's ruthlessness in this book, because the way he got famous or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He like kind of cracked down on pirates on his homeworld by capturing the pirate leader and a bunch of her dudes, putting him in a spacecraft and slowly like sailing him into the sun, putting out on holovid for all her other cronies to see.
Oh, wow.
So they could just watch her slowly fry to death.
The big theme of Tarkin.
Wouldn't she just pass out first?
And it's one of Tarkin's, the way he wanted things ruled. And this is what he even talked to Palpatine about. We need to rule by fear, not necessarily by using the force.
Right. So he's using that dude to rule, I guess, to keep, you know, him sharp. Cause he needs to be fearful, I guess. I don't know. I didn't get that far.
He truly didn't believe he was going to make it out. Cause he knew what was there. He knew what was going to happen to him. There's no way he was going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But if by some crazy chance he did, I guess. No, it was, he was, and maybe this was some of the fallacy of Tarkin starting to come out. Maybe he was, you know,
overconfident
in this, starting to become overconfident. And he was 100% sure he wasn't going to make it out. Kind of like, well, I'm 100% sure the Death Star is never going to be blown up.
Right.
So
interesting. Interesting. Well, boys, do we have any more parting words about Tarkin? Any more parting raspberries?
R.I.P., bro.
R.I.P.
All right. Since you're the one that read it, how many stars?
How many Death Stars out of Sun Crushers?
Yes.
2.5 times 3.
It gets worse on that particular scale because sun crushers are smaller than Death Stars.
Yeah, but they can crash through a Death Star.
And I would say, if you have a desire to learn more about Tarkin's backstory and you can get stomach through this,
if you're waking up, it's totally worth it.
You don't have to take our word for it.
It's totally worth it. But man, you have to get through it.
Really 2.5 out of 5 or
5 out of 10, whatever.
5 out of 10. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, wow. Having said all that, why don't we just go ahead and hop into the Porkins Report?
Got another one?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it every other episode you say another one?
I'm just surprised by the wealth of knowledge.
In you say it in a way that vexes me completely. Did you know the duo play Porkins studied astrophysics and Chinese linguistics at Princeton University, which is located in Princeton, New Jersey?
Wait a minute. So he was not only an accomplished actor, but he was pretty smart.
I think now It makes sense why we know he was a space pilot.
Yep.
Wow. He could actually traverse hyperspace.
Yeah, if his astromech if not shot up, he may be actually able to personally plot a hyperspace run. Wow. That is something
good.
Right there.
That's a good pilot skill.
It's amazing how much we can learn on this podcast.
And if he plots it wrong and ends up in China, he could talk his way out of it.
Well, there you go.
Just saying.
Wow.
If he goes through the planet core.
All right, boys. We've been at it a while already, but we have got to talk about these post trailer rumors.
Rumors.
Corey. Corey, don't take no. Put that back on.
I like feeling the air blowing between my nethers.
Well, rumors.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
You know, because we have intro music for it.
We're going to talk a little bit about the trailer. We're going to talk about some spoilers that came out with some guy that's claiming to have been a Lucasfilm employee. So let's talk, though, a little bit about the trailer and talk about, because we talked about it extensively
in last week's episode.
We did. But I want to talk a little bit about, okay, what rumors are being confirmed by what we've seen, you know, what stuff is still out there yet to be determined, that type of thing.
Rumor number one, John Boyega plays a rogue stormtrooper, appears to be confirmed by the trailer.
That's what I'm saying. Ka-chink. I mean, is there any dispute to that?
I just saw an article that says he's not a stormtrooper.
He's got a stormtrooper uniform on.
Well, so did Luke and Han.
In my heart, the heart of every toy maker ever, they were stormtroopers for at least a little while.
Forever.
Okay, so is this Tatooine? There's still some non-committal, from people out there saying this is Tatooine. Even
JJ's dinked around a little bit about, hey, not every planet's got to be like a sand planet or an ice. That's how JJ sounds. An ice planet, or like a forest planet. Some people have temperate regions. And what? It's Tatooine. Shut up.
It's Tatooine. It just is. So,
did we see two suns at any point? I know there was one.
I don't believe we saw any sun while the Falcon's hopping and skipping around in all different directions.
I didn't see any suns there.
How many lens flares did we see? We have to count those, divide by two.
Interesting, though, because when the Falcon was flying, it was pretty clear that that was the sand planet, which would be Tatooine, and they were being chased by TIE fighters. So, right. I mean, obviously there's an Imperial presence at Tatooine.
30 years later, still flying TIE fighters. I'm just going to tell you.
Assuming 30 years later, I mean.
Okay, it could be a flashback. I hope not.
So we saw Daisy Ridley in her Tatooine duds. Are you kind of disappointed that she's going to be the street rat?
No, AT-AT. Street rat.
Well, we don't know that yet. Just because it wasn't shown doesn't mean it's not in the movie.
We don't. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, chocolate popsicle street rat.
Yeah.
She's driving a chocolate popsicle through the desert, which I hope she gets where she's going fast. I'm just saying. It's going to melt. I'm okay with it. I mean, the whole Jedi street rat thing, I think, is a little cliche, but what?
I'm not sure.
Some of the other rumors that we're hearing that we're not getting into right away, but I'm going to go ahead and start pulling the thread on the sweater. Okay. Is that, the Force Awakens is representing the Force Awakening across many people across the galaxy.
Right.
If that is the case,
right,
I'm okay with a street rat suddenly having powers and not knowing what to do with them or something like that.
Well,
otherwise it's just, it, I mean, cause that's a bigger thing that justifies that perspective. Otherwise it's just cliche. It's still a little cliche, but at least there's some substance possibly.
Well, it's kind of hard to say just based on what we saw that she's a street rat.
Yeah, we don't know that she has any force sensitivity whatsoever.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't know any of that yet. You're right. You're absolutely right. But the rumors that we've had that are attached to her, we really haven't had much rumor that confirms that she is force sensitive in any way. What we've heard is that she's on Tatooine, that she's living in an AT-AT,
she's a
things like that. Tinker.
You know, you didn't used to say AT-AT. Why do you say it now? Just because
I hate you, man. I'm sorry.
It's faster to say AT-AT.
It's not. AT-AT.
AT-AT. Competition pissing match on Fly Casual.
You just sound like you're having a stroke when you say it like that.
I mean, I gotta say, I still hope, I'm still grasping to the glimmer of hope that she's the daughter of Han and Leia, and then Janet, her maybe name is she's Jana. There. Well, yeah, that or Alana. Too. But I'll take Kira Janet. If I have to. But
no,
I
won't.
But that she's there, just kind of, I don't know, just going out on her own, living on her own, or had been dispatched there making for some reason. I don't know,
making her way in the world today.
I'm still hopeful.
She's gonna make it after
everything
all.
You got.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
See, I took a different TV theme song.
All right, so
suicide is painless.
I get so it. Okay, the third we've seen John Boyega, we've seen Daisy Ridley, we also see Oscar Isaac. He's in flying an X-wing.
Apparently,
rumor has it that the X-wings are flying actually on Yavin 4. Are
really? Right. So those mountainous background in the background, that's because where backgrounds
rumor
go.
Rumor has it
is theoretically jungly looking.
Yeah.
Now we had rumors that there was going to be some planets. I thought, but maybe I could be wrong. In Rebels, that were going to be referenced in the movie, or vice versa, or something.
We haven't really gone anywhere in Rebels.
I haven't.
That's what I was. I mean,
Rebels
has
been on what's the name of their home planet? There in Rebels.
Oh man, what is it?
I don't know.
Was just listening to the other cast.
Lupine.
Lothal.
That's what Professor.
They went to that sweet asteroid.
Yeah, sweet asteroid.
Yeah, they did
twice.
In a second here, I'll list out the planets that are rumored that we're going to be traveling to. But
yeah,
I don't recall.
I don't think they've had the opportunity yet to do that. If they're going to,
right. So, any thoughts on Oscar Isaac? I mean, is there anything confirmed with him?
I don't think any of us thought he was going to be an X-Wing pilot.
No, that's true. That's true.
He's
going
to be Apocalypse.
I mean, about the closest that we've come. There hasn't been much on Oscar Isaac about the only speculation that we've heard is that possibly he could be a son of Han Solo. I mean, he kind of keeps going back and forth between Adam Driver and Oscar Isaac. Whether
Adam Driver looks more like Harrison Ford. Isaac doesn't look any. Oscar Isaac actually looks a little too olive skinned to be the son of Harrison Ford.
He could be the bastard son of Harrison Ford.
Well, that would be the thing. You'd have to introduce a completely different mother character, which is not out of the question.
One time, there was theory that Han Solo begat Oscar Isaac begat Adam Driver / Kira. Yeah. So that was one of the theories out there. So
that's wacky.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that if you look at their ages, that's a possibility.
Adam Driver doesn't look that old to me.
Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley are in their 20s.
Oscar Isaac
is pushing 40. And of course, Harrison Ford is in his 70s.
Very old though.
Oscar makeup, Isaac man. Doesn't look
good. I'm makeup. Just saying he's pushing 40. He's late 30s, early 40s. So I mean, theoretically, I mean that could work out mathematically for. But I'm not saying that's Harrison what they're Ford, talking about now. I'm
Han
just saying
Solo is in his 30s and childless.
True.
Aww. I'm just saying. True. I mean, he was pushing 40 in Jedi and childless.
Other theories that with Oscar Isaac. Other theories with Oscar Isaac were that he was, he could be the one possibly that has the Falcon. Maybe he was a card playing buddy of Solo's friend of Solo's.
That he was going to be another
he's scoundrel. A pilot.
Right. He's definitely
but in this case, he's well, piloting an X-Wing.
I think we're making a pretty good assumption that is Oscar Isaac.
So, okay,
we're not 100% sure that.
I think it's pretty.
I didn't think it was, but.
None of us, when we watched the trailer, thought that's Oscar Isaac's. But when we did a side by side comparison before we recorded last week, was that looking, especially his left eye is kind of flintier than his right eye. It doesn't open quite as much. And looking at the shot of the X-Wing pilot, that definitely appears to be the case.
There's a lot of assumption on the internet, too. And didn't one of you guys say that he in an interview recently with Oscar Isaac that he kind of confirmed that was him? I thought one of you guys said that before we started.
No, I think that was about something else and was someone else.
All right. So anyway, but that makes sense.
That was Andy Serkis saying it was Andy Serkis's voice in the trailer. That's what that was.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I'm not joking.
Cumberbatch saying it was Andy Serkis.
Yeah. saying it was Andy Serkis. It wasn't him saying that.
Okay. So the last piece here, or one of the last pieces, the shady character at the end with the lightsaber, you know, the weird hilt. Obviously, that's some of the artwork that we had seen a couple of podcasts ago with the lightsaber hilt, with the little mini lightsabers coming out of the side and the mask character. That seems to be confirmed, you know, with
it seems
even though the lightsaber's confirmed, but we haven't seen the front of them. So we don't know if that person's masked or not. But I'm going to say it's a pretty safe assumption that he or she is. I mean, they're
well covered up.
Right. That concept art is probably going to be that person.
There is one shot that shows some curves on that.
Some hips. I'm not buying it.
Rumors have actually, we had a question come in. I'll just go ahead and say that from Steve Potter.
Okay.
Friend of the show, super fan, super listener.
About this. Okay.
Asking if it possibly could be Gwendolyn Christie underneath that cloak, if you will.
I would definitely say it's plausible. It's plausible, but I don't think it's likely. And here's why: because we've seen pictures of Gwendolyn Christie on set, and she was on brown set tunic
kind of thing,
right? Kind of, yeah, brown or blue tunic, and she was hanging around like Republic characters.
Right.
I mean, she was where the X-Wings were, you know, at the the area where the X-Wings were stationed and the Millennium Falcon. And
I'm going to tell you, you know, Howie's got the picture. He's pointing at the butt. What if that turns out to be a dude? How's that going to make you feel? Because you were checking out the dude's
I'm
butt.
Just saying there's curves there. I'm not saying I'm attracted to it.
There's nothing wrong with it if you are, Howie. We'll all accept it. I'm just saying, plan ahead.
That's pretty weak, man.
I'm just saying there is Gwendolyn Christie.
Guys have butts too.
I agree.
I'm going to sit this one out and just wait.
Most of the time.
Gwendolyn Christie is not that
kind of mannish.
No. I mean, she's big. I don't know. Some of those scenes in Game of Thrones where she ain't got no clothes on, you're sitting there going, "Oh, that's different than what I expected to see." she's got curves, but she's not that skinny. The character that we're seeing there,
hard to say how skinny that person is.
I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at that.
If it's as robed as that person is, it has to be a thin person underneath.
I don't think it's Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah,
also, I'm just trying to make a case that it could be.
Sure. Right. Also, the head, the cloaked head is sitting way too high. She does not have that long a neck and her head is not that tall. So I would say that's absolutely not.
She's wearing a helmet. That's really high in the head. Your cone head helmet.
No, it's not her. It's not. The arms are too skinny. I think that looks more like Adam Driver, who is narrower framed than Gwendolyn Christie is. Yeah. I really think that's Adam Driver in that outfit. He is a tall and skinny dude. I'm not saying he's like Twig, but he is very lithe.
Yeah, I want to say I agree. I think it is Adam Driver.
Yeah.
But. Man, I honestly think it'd be really cool if it was Gwendolyn Christie.
You know what? You could make the case for that being a female frame, but I don't think it's Gwendolyn Christie.
Well, here's the thing.
Given the fact that we don't have another viable female to plug into that,
right.
I would say that's probably Adam.
Let's just look back at the casting and how it happened and everything else. Gwendolyn Christie was cast pretty late into the process. I mean, she was cast after, remember the famous picture of everybody sitting around the reading table and all that stuff. Okay. So fast forward to this trailer. What do we have? We have John Boyega. He was cast right away. He's sitting in that round, the round table. We have, Daisy Ridley. She's sitting right next to Carrie Fisher. We have Oscar Isaac. He's in that photo too.
Yes.
I mean, those guys.
But do you forget the rumor?
Adam Driver is in that.
Cumberbatch room. And Gwendolyn Christie coming to replace him because they didn't get
Cumberbatch. Cumberbatch isn't in that roundabout.
But that dude's busy. He's got a job, Michael.
There was a rumor way early on this is one of the first rumors that we talked about, that cover, that they were talking about getting Cumberbatch, and they didn't get him, so they got Gwendolyn Christie.
It could have been something where they literally were just replugging it in at the time, and they didn't have everything.
But
settled.
if Cumberbatch or Gwendolyn Christie were cast at that time, what I'm saying is that the people that are most important to this film were cast early, okay? And they're sitting around that table. So I believe that all the people that we see in there, including the cloak figure that we can't see from behind, is one of the people that were sitting around original cast.
You make
cast.
A good point, but I think Howie's point is not without merit, which of is course. If they were sealing the deal with him right before they got together to do that, and then it got shaky, it's possible that a main character or an important character would not be there because they were like, oh, shoot, we need to find someone else to do it.
So I agree. That's entirely feasible.
I think it's very weak. It's very, but right. It's still feasible. There. It's feasible.
Plausible. Yeah. It's definitely feasible. Absolutely. Yep. And I don't think
it could be. No, it really could. It looks too tall in this image, but it doesn't mean it couldn't be.
Right.
Yeah, man. She goes dark. Yo.
Yeah.
They all go dark. Everybody goes dark.
Everybody's dark.
That's episode movie. 8. Everybody's dark.
And everybody poops. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that could be racist, though, because, you know, John Boyega's in it.
Oh, there. Garrick took it right back there.
Ah, jeez.
I'm so glad.
It's not him in Star Wars.
That's right. It has nothing to do with Garrick.
It's Twitter and the internet and CNN.
All them. Everyone on CNN.
It's CNN.
Can I go back for a second?
Yes.
Can I?
Maybe.
I'm going back to the X-Wings flying over the lake.
Okay.
Let me paint for you a picture, if you will. We were talking about how Oscar Isaacs, if that is indeed him in the X-Wing, which we believe it is, and the fact that we were under the impression that he had the Millennium Falcon for some reason. But here he is flying an X-Wing, and that's wacky. So let me paint for you a picture. Let's say Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, they hook up on Tatooine. Then they go to Mos Eisley or Mos something, and they find a dude who's got the Millennium Falcon.
Tashi Station.
Literally episode 4 all over again, right? Except the dude with the Millennium Falcon. Hey, that's not Han Solo. That's Oscar Isaacs. So then they take him, and they're going to go find General Solo, who's working on an outpost on Yavin 4. But here's the thing.
Their dad?
It's a cushy... Maybe. It's a cushy retirement job, right? So there's not a lot of action. So all the equipment and the stuff there is old. It's like 15, 20 years surplus, right? Doesn't get used a lot. And they're just there kind of looking up, say, hey, we have a situation. But boom, the Empire's tracked Boyega and the place is coming under attack. And they're like, crap, we need to fire up these butt old X-Wings, which are not 30 years old, but are pretty old and banged up, judging from what we see in the trailer.
So is his face.
And so here goes Oscar Isaacs going running up the gangplank, and Han Solo goes, no. You bring my girl here, I'm going to be the one flying her.
Yeah.
So sticks him in one of the old crappy X-Wings, and that's why we see him strapped in as an X-Wing pilot.
And looking pissed.
Huh?
Yeah.
But there are scrapes on his faces.
Scrapes on his faces. Is he Manny Faces?
Yep, Faces.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. No, I mean,
Zaymot.
Even all what we're seeing doesn't rule out what we've heard.
Here's the thing with Oscar Isaac. We know, he of all the main characters, and you know, the Daisy Ridleys and Boyegas and Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and everybody else, he's the main character in quotes that we know the least about.
Right.
So it's all open to interpretation right now.
It is. I'm just saying, don't count out the rumors we heard a while ago, because I still think even with what we've seen, it could still fit that mold.
Meaning him being
the scoundrel that has the Falcon, whatever like that. It could still be that way. Because, I mean, if you're standing next to Han Solo and you're getting ready to run into a fight, you're really not going to let Han Solo fly the Falcon. I'm just saying. Are you going to be the guy to not hand the keys over? Come on. Please. So anyway, what other wild rumors do we have? Are these the ones coming from the Lucasfilm guy, or we even got to
No, we haven't got to the Lucasfilm guy. Heavens. We were just wrapping up the trailer. We can start hitting our...
What about, did we talk about that weapon or whatever it is on Daisy Ridley's...
We talked about it in last week's episode, Darth Maul's saber.
Lightsaber.
Darth Maul's lightsaber pike. Or whatever, or lightsaber rifle that's tucked onto the side of her chocolate bar bike, her chocolate sickle, and
mysteriously disappears. Yeah, when they go from one shot to the other,
it is no longer there. In fact, I would even say from one shot to the other, the mounting bracketry is not even there.
It just fell off.
This whole thing is gone. Well, you know what? They shot it with a mirror, and so they're actually showing the other side when she's taking off.
Oh, that's what it is. You're looking her in a reflection. Yep. Yeah. It's a mirage.
Yep.
Desert mirage.
You got it.
That crazy desert.
I mean, the one thing, and I'm not sure that we did bring that up, but the one thing that we noticed about that is that the weapon, whatever's attached to the side of her vehicle.
The chocolate sickle.
It looks a lot like Darth Maul's lightsaber hilt.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure we talked about that last week. I know it's a long time ago now.
It is.
But yeah, it looks like it looks like they literally took the hilt and turned it into a different thing and stuck it on there. And hey, why not?
Yeah. And why not?
Okay, so that's the trailer. Anything else you guys had regarding the trailer?
No, I want to get into this supposed Lucasfilm employee dude.
So supposedly this week, this guy's getting a lot of attention from the fanboys on the web. And again, we're going to go ahead and tell you, there's potentially some pretty spoilery stuff here if some of this stuff turns out to be true. So
hey, they're still listening. Yeah. All bets are off, man.
So anyway, there's Carrie a guy Fisher out there. Carrie
Fisher kills Harrison Ford.
I knew it. Yep.
Yes.
No.
There's a guy out there being called, I guess he's affectionately being called Spoiler Man.
Spoiler Man. Carrie Fisher kills Harrison Ford, so that's like in real life.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with Star Wars. It's just the thing. Wow. She went on a coke binge.
So this guy got onto 4chan, right? And
that's
4chan?
4chan?
4chan.
4chan. 4chan. 4chan, okay.
A fortune. I was going to say, she got on a really, really old computer.
Nice.
Dude, or he, she, okay, whatever. Okay,
so Spoiler Man claims to be a Lucasfilm employee. And he's out there.
Who doesn't want to be for old
claims. Well, we've had guys like this out here making these claims before. So 4chan. There's nothing new here.
4chan, the seedy underbelly of the internet.
But there's some interesting things that he has here.
It is.
And so we're gonna blast through some of the things that he's saying and kind of get some reaction from our crew here on what they think, if this would be cool or not.
All right, hit me with your best shot, Mike.
Spoiler Man, let's see.
Fire
so
away.
There it is.
He's gonna start with John Boyega, Luke Skywalker, and Daisy Ridley. So you guys ready?
Hit me good.
Boyega is, for all intents and purposes, the new Luke Skywalker, with a touch of Han Solo thrown in. He realizes that he is force sensitive when he feels the aforementioned tremor. And actually, I should back up and talk about this because there's an overarching.
I touched on it a few minutes ago. You did.
There's an overarching storyline here. The Force Awakens is a title that kind of sets the stage for what's happening in the galaxy right now. So what we're coming to learn, or at least what this guy is throwing out there, is that the Force is kind of dormant. And has been dormant since Return of the Jedi. You know, once Luke restored balance to the
because all four, the Jedi were killed off Anakin. In Order 66,
right? Yeah,
through afterward,
right? So there really isn't any Force users. I mean, of any number or whatever, or
major caliber,
right? So in the prequel era, it was all Jedi. You know, just a few Sith, so everything was out of balance. Anakin comes along, kills off all the Jedi, ends up killing Palpatine. So at the end of Return of the Jedi, we're basically down to Luke. He's the only Jedi.
Mm.
So what they're claiming is that from Return of the Jedi to The Force Awakens, that the Force has been in a period of dormancy, and that during this period, of Episode 7, that there is what's called an awakening, and that throughout the galaxy, and kind of to set this up too, Luke has trained some Jedi, but not in the numbers that we've come to see in the EU. He's trained 6 or 7 Jedi. Okay, so very, very small numbers, and actually as Episode 7 starts, Luke has kind of disappeared. He's become a hermit. He's kind of become the new Yoda character, so to speak. He's kind of banished himself to a different part of the galaxy and just really doesn't want to be bothered. He's kind of trying to figure things out on his own, okay? So there's very few Force users or Jedi out there.
Then what happens?
So the awakening comes, and it's almost like the Force wants to be used. It wants to.
So people are suddenly finding themselves imbued with Force abilities or Force sensitivity.
Or at least there's some kind of a quickening or an awakening inside of them.
A quickening.
There can be only one Jedi. Only one.
Yes.
So yeah, not a quickening, but an awakening. And so people across the whole galaxy are feeling this prompting,
and suddenly there are airbenders everywhere.
Yeah,
and this brings us, and this That's brings us to, and this brings us to John Boyega. John Boyega at the beginning of the film is a stormtrooper who is feeling one of these promptings. He's a force sensitive, and the promptings have caused him to go
I'm a
rogue,
stormtrooper. I'm to go supposed AWOL. To be feeling this way,
right? And that's where we start Episode 7. Is that He's run away from his group of stormtroopers, whatnot, and has gone rogue.
Right.
So
So we're still not talking about who gives a crap about the Empire? Why do we give a crap about the Empire and Stormtroopers?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because, at the beginning of this, and it's this guy's kind of claiming what we've already kind of been hearing, that the galaxy is in a state of Cold War, so to speak, that the Empire still exists. So they've kind of got their influence in the galaxy. The New Republic has got their influence in the galaxy. And there's this kind of state of Cold War. Well, we're hearing, actually, and this kind of fast forwards a little bit to what this, you know, to our list of things to cover here. But what he's saying is that at the end of episode 7, pretty much Empire doesn't mean a whole lot of anything. They're kind of done.
Oh, really?
The this. They're kind the of end relegated. Of this
movie, the ep- all right, we've, Empire we've stomped is, out that.
Right. They're kind of, yeah, their flame has been stomped out.
Interesting.
At least that's what he's claiming. So, and I thought that was interesting, too, because if they still got decent influence at the beginning of this movie, what
happens, on earth is going to happen?
What happens that they lose? I mean, geez, you know,
yeah.
I guess that opens up to a lot of possibilities with Luke and you know,
whatever. Could that lead credence to the super weapon?
Well, there's the super weapon thing. Yeah, the rumor that's going on, which he does not mention in any of this, by the way. He doesn't mention the super weapon or the Sith homeworld. So interesting. But
he signed an agreement not to talk about those.
Yeah, those are two things he's not allowed to talk about.
Yeah. It says here, Boyega, Daisy Ridley, and Adam Driver are all weak in terms of force throughout the film. So, you know, this whole awakening thing, I think, is probably it's awakening within these people, Boyega, Ridley, Driver, whomever. It's at least according to him, doesn't sound like if these guys, especially Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley, if they are Solo's kids, that they've been trained as Jedi.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they might be part of the awakening, too.
Interesting.
So it says in terms of character nature, Luke is kind of Yoda's successor. Again, I kind of mentioned that he's kind of ran off and kind of doing his own thing right now. It says Palpatine is referenced a couple of times, particularly regarding his role in the decisions he made during Luke's temptation and resistance in Return of the Jedi.
Hmm.
So there is some mention of Palpatine. If you remember before, there was some.
Well, that makes sense.
There was some.
I could totally see that.
Well, there was some mention that at one point it was mentioned that Palpatine might be the antagonist, but
no,
dumb.
There were also rumors. Just
depends on your point of view.
This guy's kind of relegating Palpatine to a role that we think is probably more appropriate because you know we've heard that Palpatine was the antagonist. That maybe it was a Palpatine. Follower that was, you know, is the Sith in this. Yeah. All kinds of things. So if really he's only referenced a couple times, I'm going to be cool with that. You know what I mean?
I don't want a lot of name dropping. I like continuity, but I don't want a lot of, you know, dwelling and rehashing, you know, you know, when the Emperor told me that, here we go. Yeah, funny you should mention that. This one time I was talking to the Emperor.
Emperor Palpatine.
You know, Palpatine.
Sheev.
Hey, Sheevy, baby.
That's awkward when you say it.
Oh, you don't like that?
No, I'm sorry.
Give me the giblies.
I'm sorry. All right, here's an interesting one. He claims that Luke has come to the conclusion that the Jedi are not meant to be an open quasi-police force like they were in the prequels.
I've always felt that.
That's very bold.
He has a close connection to the living force, which I thought was interesting. And actually, it says that Luke, especially the living force part of this, Luke has interaction with Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
What? That he's in communion with them. So so he and
well, especially I know. The living remember, it wasn't really until the Zahn trilogy, which, you know, was one of the first things a lot of us read, where Obi-Wan started going, I'm not going to hang around. You know, so really,
Trisa Bakora.
What's that? Was it Trisa Bakora?
Trisa Bakora. Vader appears to Leia.
Yeah, but is the Zahn trilogy where Obi-Wan's like not coming around as much anymore?
Yeah, it's like I can't do it anymore.
If all of that's not canon anymore, then as far as we're concerned,
that can still
they could all just hang out, just show up and be like, dude, what you watching, dude? You know, let's order something.
Right,
but that's such a future Spock in the Star Trek movie.
It is. I don't disagree.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, them being able to. I mean, that's not like they're going to be there physically and they can interact with. I mean, it's just
somebody walks into a room. Luke's sitting there in his drawers with like one hand in his waistband, a la Al Bundy, and then like you know just standing around him are Yoda, Qui-Gon, Anakin, and they're all just hanging out. Like Obi-Wan's there, like smoking a doob. You know, and he's like, "Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? So just communing with the dead, you know, what's up. It's dumb. I'm okay. If he makes a passing comment to like, you know, what were you doing? Meditating? You know, I was just speaking to some old, compatriots or something like that.
They do it in Avatar.
Here's the thing.
I buy it there. I can buy it
thing.
Here.
Remember, Luke is kind of, he's become a hermit. He's done the Obi-Wan thing. He's done the Yoda thing. So when he's communing with him, it's not like he's chum walking down the Tatooine street, going to the bar. And, hey, Obi-Wan, you come along.
Who's he talking to? I don't see anybody.
He's not even doing it in front of Jedi. Crazy. I mean, he's just talking to them in his solitude. That's how I'm reading this anyway.
I don't want to see him. If I hear their voices, I can cope with it. I don't want to see him.
I don't think we will.
I don't want to see their physical manifestations.
I don't think we will.
Up Alec Guinness.
Yeah,
right. Are they going to make you younger? Oh, man. The Force makes you younger after you die.
It happens after you die.
Here's an interesting point. This goes to Howie because he was big on this. It says that Luke is a big proponent of balance in the Force.
Yeah.
Yay.
And that, while he doesn't want them to be a police force, he still believes that the Jedi need to be promoting peace and order and harmony, but they cannot become active servants for any government.
See, that's the thing. I always liked the idea that the Jedi were kind of like, you know, Buddhist monks who could kick a lot of butt. You know what I mean? The Jedi Academy thing I was okay with, but the minute they decided to move everything to Coruscant because of the Yuuzhan Vong, busting up Yavin 4, I didn't like it because suddenly they were an arm of the government.
Again.
I didn't, like, up until then, it was Leia going, Leia was calling him up on the phone going, dude, can you help me out? I don't know how to deal with this thing on this planet over here. Can you send some of your peeps? And Luke's like, all right, that was cool. But then the minute they just started, here's a Jedi with this team of, they started emulating the Old Republic. It was like, what? We're going right back to the dumpy thing we tried to get away from.
Exactly.
So I'm okay with that. I wish it wasn't that much of a departure from the EU, but hey, fine.
Yeah, fine. I'm going to buy it. And I like the philosophy behind it. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me. Let's see. I thought this one was interesting. It says Luke does not die, turn evil, or go crazy, because that was a lot of speculation about that maybe he was even the antagonist in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And kind of what they're saying, and we've kind of heard rumors about this too, that you know, Luke's going to save the day at the end of this movie. It might not necessarily be in a good way, and I still believe that can happen that way, but he's not some crazy, psycho that's going to go all Sith on us.
Right.
So to me, that makes sense.
I think he's just going to raise up his lightsaber and just stand there and let himself get whacked.
Yeah. Strike me down. I'll become more powerful.
Luke is going to die. So he doesn't think he's going to kick it in this.
Good. I didn't think he was going to, and I'm glad.
So am I. It's bad enough that you guys think they're going to kill off Han and Leia.
Oh, us? Not, yeah. I love how just with Mike, it's just us. Again, Michael Vick.
Sons of bitches.
Throwing the rancid meat at the dogs and getting mad when they eat it.
It says here.
Is anybody going to die?
This is interesting about. Actually.
Okay.
It's interesting that you bring that up. But yeah, plenty of stormtroopers. But yeah. we'll get to the dying here in a minute. Daisy Ridley's character, I think this is interesting, has been raised incognito to both keep her safe from inquisitors and traitors within the Republic. So Daisy
traitors
Ridley.
Traitors.
Does that point to the fact that. She is of somebody of importance, like Han and Leia's daughter. And they don't want her exposed to traitors within the Republic. I don't know.
Why not?
Sounds like plausible to me.
I agree.
Admiral Akbar, he's the traitor.
And that would be...
It's a trap.
I mean, that's something that you could swallow, right? I mean, that's why they sent her off to Tatooine, right? I mean, that's where everybody's safe.
Yeah, that's Tatooine is the Phoenix of the galaxy. They'll be safe here.
It's interesting that they bring up the Inquisitors. And this guy goes on later to detail that the fact that Disney is really big on tying in their new expanded universe stuff.
Yeah.
And it's
because they don't want to make the same problem, the mistakes that were already made, which is you had all these different
doing all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
So they, it's important to them, to Disney, that they're going to tie in their properties that are exterior from the films. So the whole idea of Inquisitors, it sounds like, at least in this guy's opinion, that they're going to be part of the storyline.
Is it theoretically viable then that there have always been Inquisitors in the Empire, even during the original trilogy?
That's what it's sounding like to me.
You know, like it's just no big deal. That's what they were there doing these thing. It just right. so happened that Luke was a big enough hook that it attracted Vader.
Vader, yeah. Yeah, the big guy.
The head honcho right. of Inquisitations.
Exactly.
Inquisitations.
You're like,
Nice.
What else is this guy laying this on us? This
kind of goes, we talked a little bit about the ball droid from the trailer.
Yeah, the FIFA droid.
Yeah, he's claiming that Kira's ball droid, and Kira meaning Daisy Ridley's character, right. in quotes, is not related to R2-D2, so I
related? That, oh, yeah. No, R2-D2 knocked it up. He stuck his up. Probe spanner in the stomp link.
Yeah. I think what they mean like by C-3PO that is that it's bit. Not so, an yeah. astromech.
He's got an astromech head, but he's golden colored.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's R2 and 3PO finally sealed the deal. You know what I'm saying? Get those actuators actuating, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what they're saying, at least how I'm interpreting this,
beep, boop.
Is that yeah. it's more along the lines. It's not the same type of droid. Like he's not an astromech.
Well, of course and not. How would he plug in? The
existence of this
just
droid
with a similar
was
head.
Apparently requisitioned by Disney, and we kind of brought that up before. This is Disney's attempt to.
It's probably just going
to
be a pet.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's going
it to
be.
Looks, to me, it looks Disney-ish to
it's,
me.
It's an Infinity 2.0 figure.
It kind of looks that
toy,
way.
Toy box only, no playset. Yep.
You nailed it there. It doesn't stay on.
It just keeps rolling off of everything.
Dang it.
So, okay. Luke's lightsaber is mentioned in here. We've heard rumors early on that you remember the hand floating in space right. and all and that
of course,
stuff.
We talked about in the last episode, the sound effect at the end right. of the trailer after it fades to black
right.
is not just a lightsaber, but it's appears Luke's. To be... Luke/Anakin's lightsaber,
right?
The one that Obi-Wan bequeaths to Luke in episode right. 4.
This guy claims that the lightsaber is indeed a big part of the film, that, you know, whether we see the hand floating in space or not, I don't know, but he says that at the beginning of the film, the lightsaber comes into Daisy Ridley's character's possession.
Interesting.
So, and that the acquisition of this lightsaber starts the events in motion.
Think about something for a second. That lightsaber killed more Jedi than any Jeez. Other lightsaber.
True that.
Yeah. Was Obi, I mean, considering the fact that the Force tends to have a residual presence on objects, was Obi-Wan really in his right mind just handing that over to an 18-year-old whiny kid? You know, here, by the way, this was used to slaughter a countless number of women, men, women, and children. Here you go. Have fun.
Don't shoot your eye out.
It's kind of interesting you bring that up because, you know, we talked about her riding the chocolate scooter.
okay, that sounds way filthier. Yeah, way like filthier than the chocolate sickle. The chocolate sickle does not sound nearly as bad as Daisy Ridley riding the chocolate scooter. There's your episode title, boys. No one forget.
The chocolate scooter.
Riding the chocolate scooter.
So we talk about how the stuff's missing off of it on the next shot.
Yeah.
What if they purposely took that away because maybe Luke's lightsaber is mounted on there somehow?
Maybe, but that wasn't at all. The thing that we saw was in no way Luke's light.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, like they were covering it up.
They were covering it up. So they said, oh, let's just remove the whole thing.
Why would you mount it to a vehicle? Or maybe she was holding it. I don't know.
Maybe she can ram somebody with it when it's activated. Go right through them.
A little something.
I think maybe they just haven't CG'd it in by the time they put the trailer together.
I'm thinking like she had a satchel mounted, hooked onto it, and you know, it was in there.
It could be. Anything's possible. It's the rumors cast.
It is.
What if all of this is on the holodeck of the Enterprise D?
Shut up.
Yep. Star Wars takes place in a holodeck in Star Trek.
Yeah, and it was all programmed by Ensign, what's his name, the bald guy, or Lieutenant. What was the guy who was obsessed with the holodeck?
Barkley.
Barkley, that's right.
Which Charles? This all takes place inside of Baltar's mind.
Man, everything in here is just ridiculous. this whole simulation is ridiculous, man.
Well, you guys want to learn a little more about Han, Leia, Oscar Isaac?
I do.
I guess.
I suppose. Well, no surprise here. This guy claims that Leia has been the Republic leader for some 30 years.
Okay.
We've heard similar rumors. I think some of the ones that we had heard earlier that was that she was not actually the leader for all 30 years, but that she had become the leader or was becoming.
And I still
the
think
leader.
That's probably more plausible.
Right.
I mean, come on. She's going to push Mon Mothma over the ledge and try to get up there. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Hopefully somebody would have educated JJ about Mon Mothma.
Come on. She was in the movie, for God's sake.
She was.
Yeah. Several Bothans died.
He claims that Han and Leia are indeed married. If you remember early on, there was a lot of rumor that maybe they were divorced or that there was, you know, trouble in paradise kind of thing. I don't know.
Trouble in 30-year-old paradise.
Now, here's a big one, because everybody's been claiming that Han Solo is going to die in episode 7. This is kind of getting to your questions about who's dying and who's not.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of assumed that, including us.
Well, we have detailed description of a death scene.
Yeah.
That has been laid on the crowd.
And
through no substantiated terms.
We've heard that Harrison Ford doesn't want to continue.
Yeah, we've heard that Harrison Ford's kind of ready to be done at the get-go.
Well, you know what? None of that's come out of his mouth. We've never heard that out of his mouth. It's always been through these rumor channels.
Just
that
on Twitter.
He wanted to die in Return of the Jedi. So the only reason he agreed to do this
it's entirely possible, and I believe this before that Harrison Ford just didn't want to be directed by George Lucas ever again. In the documentaries, he all but just comes out and says, George is a terrible. What were his words? His exact words. George is not what you would call an actor's director.
Yeah, right.
Those are his exact words. And if you don't believe him, watch the prequels.
No,
see how he probably just wanted, George, nice guy. He can produce the indie films, but I'm not going to be directed by him.
Right.
I'm just not going to deal with it.
Right.
So it could be that now he's like, oh, someone else is doing it. Oh, it's some young buck talent. Sign me up.
Well, spoiler guy here claims that Han does not die in the film. Han Solo.
Made it by Han.
Solo. That Han does not die in the film, and that actually his death is apparently being planned for episode 8.
Okay.
So there's your episode 8
time,
rumor.
This time when they freeze him in carbonite, his life signs are not detected.
There you go.
But don't.
Perfect.
Don't.
That's it.
Oh, man. Freeze me once. Shame on you.
Yeah, freeze me twice when I'm 72.
I just did.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's another viable episode title. I'm having a hard time making up my mind afterward.
You'll forget them all.
Here's what I'll say about this. If he does not die at the end of episode 7, he will be dying at the beginning of episode 8. Don't you think?
No, I think they save it for the climax.
Really?
Make him go out on moisten the faces and the sweaters and the seats.
I think he's going to slip in a shower. Right at the beginning.
They'll have the shower and the Falcon.
No meaning to the episode.
You're going to see his head go down and 2 feet fly up in the air.
You won't even see his head. It's a stunt double. You won't even be a part of it.
I think they'd save it for the big emotional climactic moment. Yeah. I don't think they'd shoot their wad on that.
Yeah.
No. I think it's too.
That's a pretty
one
big
of
deal.
The most iconic characters of film history of all time ever. You don't shoot your wad on that.
Well, here's like,
whoa, we blew up.
Here's
Vulcans.
What the conventional wisdom among the fanboys has been is that okay, you kill off because everybody's saying
he's making out with the bar the whole time. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
He's been drawing on it with his hands. He's been caressing it.
Yeah.
That's all right. Sorry, Mike.
People know exactly what you're talking about.
Your hands are very handsy with my furniture.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Hey, baby. Hi. No,
I wish
what?
I was there.
Exactly. Exactly. So have fun with that one, folks. Anyway, what we've heard about spinoff movies is that one of them is going to be a Han Solo movie. So the conventional wisdom is that, we're going to kill off Han Solo in episode 7, and that's going to set up a nice setup for one of the spinoff movies.
Which would not be a Han Solo movie if you murdered him.
No, it would be a Han Solo young. I mean,
oh, a young Han Solo.
What they're saying, what they're saying is that if you kill him off in 7, you're going to create this interest for there to be a spinoff movie.
I can see that. That's pretty. That sounds like suit talk to me, though. It doesn't sound like something that boots on the ground really means something.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me, but I don't know. That's what some of the, you know, like I said, some of the geek talk has been. So anyway, let's see.
I don't want Han to die ever.
Well, I don't either, but it's going to happen.
70 is the new 50.
It's going to happen.
R.I.P. Aaron Alston. Oh. You remember that? Mike, that was directed at you.
What's that?
Celebration 3. We sat in with Aaron Alston, Karen Travis, who we had never heard of at that point. And
was she there?
Yeah, that was, she was the female up there that we'd never heard of.
That's right.
And I believe, was it Troy Denning or James Luceno? Troy Denning, right?
It was Denning.
Yeah. And the three of them were up there doing a panel. And they were talking about the Legacy Denning series that was upcoming.
Yep.
And someone got up and asked a question. What are we going to do about the fact that the characters are getting so old? And Aaron Alston said 60 or what is it? 60 is the new 40.
Yeah.
And everybody cheered like wildfire. There were only like 35, 40 of us in the room and we're all just going nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times.
A little walk down memory lane.
Here's some interesting ones. The X-Wings on the trailer are actually on Yavin, which we kind of touched on before. Yeah, touched surprised on about in that.
My little hypothetical scenario that I set up.
So, like, mountainous, I mean, because we think of Yavin as this jungle planet.
Right, but
so
it can have a lake and mountains.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very a mountainous terrain on those shots where you see the guy looking out with the binoculars and the ship's coming and going. It's pretty flat jungle, but there's no reason why you couldn't assume that it's mountainous, especially near bodies of water where you're likely to have more varying topography and stuff. Like, come on, geography, you guys, geology, all the geographies and knowledges.
Okay. Here's a big one. I'm going to name drop on you. You guys ready?
Sheev.
This guy's calling Oscar Isaac's character. You want to know what Oscar Isaac's character is?
Yeah.
What his last name is?
Is it Calrissian?
It is not Calrissian.
Because that would be confusing.
Wait,
don't tell me.
No, we're going to guess. We're going to guess.
It
Oscar Greedo.
It's actually
Ortega.
John Mothma.
Solo.
Keep going.
Bill Born. David Dave Thrawn. Dodona.
Katarn.
Oh, wait, Zach Antilles.
I wish it was Katarn.
I'm not
Zach
done.
Zach Antilles.
Bill Horn.
Skywalker.
Keep going. You're getting closer.
Star Killer.
Close.
Star Walker.
No.
Sky Killer?
No.
A booby.
Jim Vader.
Jim Vader, you got it, man. No, this guy's claiming that Oscar Isaac is a Darklighter.
Oh, really? Now see, that makes more sense to me. He's got the darker hair, the slightly more olivey complexion, even though I don't know if Biggs was that olivey.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know in episode 4, Luke's friend on that he refers to Biggs.
He's in Red Squadron.
Right. Yeah.
He dies at the Battle of Yavin.
Yes, right.
So this guy's claiming that Oscar Isaac is a Darklighter.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That would be kind of cool, right?
He looks kind of like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Biggs have a kid or is it like a nephew or something?
I don't know.
Deleted scenes, boys.
He knocked up some chick at, you know, at the port, you know, that he was stationed at, right?
Power converters.
Or did he really die?
Yeah. They swung by a brothel in the red light district called the Power Converter.
Whoa. Are you implying Darklighter is still alive?
Yes.
How he is. No one else is.
Porkins could be too.
Oh, wait.
All right. Let's get into Adam Driver, Andy Serkis, Max von Sydow, and a mystery character. You guys ready?
Okay.
All right. Adam Driver, they're saying that his character, and this kind of goes along with some of the pictures that we've seen, he is actually the leader of Red Squadron.
Okay.
He is a hotshot fighter.
Wait.
Ooh, hotshot.
Red Squadron.
Red Squadron.
WTF, what the hell is Red Squadron?
I'm just telling you, that's what this guy's saying.
It's not Red Squad. Okay, now I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get, because that ain't EU.
There are
three. That ain't EU. That is movie canon, fool. It ain't Red Squadron. It's Rogue Squadron.
I understand that, but he's saying,
your face.
He's saying there is a red, blue, and gold squadrons in this film.
There better be a Rogue Squadron somewhere.
He's saying it's Red Squadron.
I'm going to rip somebody. Right.
Well, couldn't there be a Rogue and a Red?
I'm okay if they decided to reuse red because they only have so many primary colors to choose from. I'm okay with that.
It says,
but there better be a Rogue Squadron if there's a Red Squadron. That's going to make me mad. I'm going to get mad, boys.
That's going to get me up. Hey, this is just some guy on the internet.
Guy on the internet can eat poop and die right now.
That's bullcrap. None of this could be true at all.
He goes on, I'm angry about this.
That might not be true.
He goes on further to describe Adam Driver's character as obsessed with the Sith. He collects items and trinkets related to the Sith.
Floating hands.
I don't know.
Really crappy lightsabers. Kind
of giving credence to the crappy lightsabers, that type of thing.
Sith holocrons.
Maybe Daisy Ridley picks up old Sith stuff and sells it to him. This guy claims
that the hilt on the lightsaber that Adam Driver builds is said to not function as a cross guard. So this guy's claiming.
I am so good about everything related to that character so far. I win everything. All the stuff I've been wrong about, wiped clean. Yeah, I'm right about everything now.
Yeah, but I'm calling the whole underlying of the whole episode.
See, now you guys, you called this guy a loon 2 seconds ago when he said Red Squadron.
No, I didn't call him a loon. I said, I'm all be mad. That sounds like something that they would just ignore and it would piss me off. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, it could be his misunderstanding of it, too.
He may have said red and meant rogue.
True. Maybe he's French and the Google Translate thought he meant to say red.
Yeah, that's it.
Because he typed in rouge.
That's it. Yep.
Okay, in regard to Andy Serkis, Andy Serkis,
it's the rumors, guys.
Andy Serkis is a species that we have not seen before, so we're getting an introduction to a new species
named Waru
and
just Sith.
Oh,
all right. Serkis's machinations.
He's one of the river folk, I believe. Andy Serkis is.
This guy's basically claiming that Andy Serkis is the Sith Lord. In this film,
he's the top of the Sith chain.
He's saying that he has a different outlook from Palpatine. He believes that the rule of two is foolish, and he considers Palpatine as having made a couple of mistakes.
As evident by the fact that he ain't round no
one. Well, it's funny. Now, it's interesting here because, hey, there's a couple of things here that we need to take note of. First off, they're talking about, and this may point to the fact that Andy Serkis might be playing two different characters, because if you. The first thing I said about him is that he's going to play a species we've not seen before. And then the other thing is that he could be a Sith.
Could be so Sith species?
Generally, we don't see...
I've seen a Chiss before in the movies.
Well, I mean, have we... Because I'm trying to rack my brain. Have we seen a Sith, a non-human Sith?
Have we seen a Sith?
In the movies?
Sith.
In the movies. In the Swator.
Non-human Sith. There's the girl. Who's the girl? The Twi'lek. That's Sith.
The Twi'lek
Darth Talon? Is Sith?
Yeah, Darth Talon. That's the only one I can think of.
No, Darth Plagueis wasn't human, was he?
Yeah, he was immune.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then, of course, the Inquisitor, if that counts as Sithy in any way, is Utapauan.
Yeah, right.
That's so.
Okay, all right.
So I don't think I don't know that the Sith have ever cared about species. I think that was more of a Palpatine thing. I mean, I've not read all of the prequel Sith novels, but I don't. I mean,
well, I haven't either.
Darth Bane wasn't really full human, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was okay.
He was from like an outer rim mining planet or something,
right? Sith seemed to be. I mean, the Sith were originally a species called Sith. You know, and then some Dark Jedi showed up and said, hey, you guys do weird crap. We want to do that, too. You know, I mean, if any of that is still even on the map of plausible canon at all, which I think it's on the map. It's not part of it's not considered canon, but I mean, there's nothing else to take its place yet. Right. So theoretically, the Sith could be a Sith Sith. Could be, you know, a red faced, you know, face. That's kind of what
I would like to actually see.
Yeah. I would love to see that, but I don't think it would happen in a million years. I'm bringing it up, but I'm going to immediately discount it. I that would be too cool for fanboys, I think, you know, and not serve a lot of purpose creatively for whoever's writing this thing. Mike is in deep contemplation. He's twiddling his thumbs.
I'm waiting for you guys to. I'm just setting up.
He's waiting for us to shut up.
Yeah.
Seriously, you guys done yet?
Sith stuff.
Max Sith von Sydow. Max von Sydow is not Boba Fett.
Aww.
Darth Maul. Or get this one.
Ray Park is like 5 feet tall. He is not. I was like 7 feet tall.
He is not Mace Windu either.
Thank goodness.
That could have got a little
Mace Windu with Michael Jackson's disease.
Here's what he also says about Sydow. Sydow's identity is a surprise, but it's not necessarily earth shattering. It's the sort of thing that hardcore fans would be excited about, but overly casual fans likely won't realize the significance of. Sydow's identity does have meaning, but you don't need to know the context.
All right, which is kind of
I believe, we've talked about this before, I think he's going to be Kanan. I think he's going to be Kanan from the Rebel series. Sydow in real life is around 90 years old. That would put, if he's playing Kanan's character from Star Wars Rebels,
who would be plausible. Off. We figured it out, the math. Right. He's like 4 years older than Han Solo.
And Harrison Ford is 72.
So that's
but it's still in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, no, it's as by all means Hollywood. What about I'm gonna dream big. What about Kyle Katarn?
Is Kyle Katarn that old?
Kyle Katarn, I would have said that he was an ex-Imperial agent.
He's older than Luke, right? I mean,
theoretically robbed the first Death Star plans. So Kyle Katarn would have been probably close to 40 at the time of episode 4. So yeah, he would be 10 years older than Solo.
Really?
That would put him right about there.
Is his character going to have dreadlocks?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, no chance is he going to be Kefar. Let's find the whitest man on the planet and make him
Kefar. He could be Chancellor Valorum.
You know what? That's a look you can pull off.
That guy, huh?
Zod, he'd man.
Be like 100.
He's General Zod.
I know. Kneel before Chancellor Valorum. Whatever. Words and sounds and stuff.
Dyla. Katarn, I would love it if he was Katarn. I don't think so, man.
There's no way.
And when they walk in the room, they like yell, Kyle Katarn.
And again, this kind of, we got to remember Disney's in charge of this property now, and they've created the character of Kanan. So,
yeah, they want to pimp
to or Ezra. Stuff. Right, their stuff. Yeah, why would they pick out somebody from
Ezra the past? Ezra would be a little too young to be played by Max von Sydow.
Unless he got electrocuted and his face got
or
old.
Maybe
remember, he like, oh, remember,
power. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that Ezra is the same age as Luke and Leia. So
that means nothing.
Sure does.
The Palpatine looked to be about 300 years old to Howie's point.
that doesn't matter to me. So what are you saying that he got forced old or something?
Exactly. We talked about how we're excited about exploring these new powers. Force old is one of my favorite powers.
I hate to have that power.
Yeah, that seems
he
unlikely.
He gets force old. He doesn't use force old.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. At the end of Rebels, if Luke is the last of the Jedi, man, I mean, one or both of those guys got to die. So it's probably even a stretch that Kanan survives.
So it's Kanan. Who else could it be if it's not Boba Fett and it's not Kanan? What other characters have we seen fleeting of that have survived? I mean, Wedge. I think it's too old, too tall too to be Wedge. Too old
for Wedge.
So
who was older in the original movies?
Jan Dodona was way older.
I think it's going to be not somebody in the original movies. I think it's going to be someone.
Do you think it's going to be somebody from the EU? Oh. Could be.
Well, on if that's purpose. The case, then I mean, really, then really, Kanan, again, really, Kanan is the only one that makes sense.
He's going to color his hair
the
red.
He's part of the new EU.
Yeah. I think, guys, we didn't discuss it. I kept it in my back pocket until now. I think he's Mara Jade.
Mara Jade. Yeah, that's Mara just going to say.
Yeah.
Red hair.
Yeah.
Yep, that's why I said he's going to color his hair red.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Mara Jade.
Yep.
That's it. Agreed.
I'd still do her.
Wow.
Good timing on that, Mike. He's ready to move on.
Boba Fett does appear in the movie, albeit very briefly. Thoughts?
Where?
In the Sarlacc pit.
37 minutes in. Make sure you pause it.
Where? Yeah, the chocolate cycle rides over the dead Sarlacc, and there's just the upper half of a Mandalorian hanging out of it.
Hey, a little help.
This guy does mention that he mentioned the Boba Fett brief appearance, but saying that the whole there was a story in Expanded Universe where he escapes the Sarlacc pit.
Right.
And he's saying that story is going to be pulled back into canon.
Good.
Well, so, that could be your spinoff.
Yeah, but they still haven't figured out how to make the assassin for hire likable for a Disney property.
Right.
No,
right.
It's just one movie about him getting out of the Sarlacc.
Well, that whole story was about Dengar. So unless they want to make a whole paper about a guy wrapped in, or a whole movie about a guy wrapped in toilet paper.
Yeah, why not?
I would see it in a heartbeat. It's Disney, why not?
Okay, you guys ready for planets?
Oh, here we go.
Strap we're visiting. In, boys.
Gavin, four.
How many planets you think?
Cora? Four.
Did all of you guys say four?
Yes. Mike has no idea that he already told us this.
I didn't know. It's actually five. I lied.
You man.
Sack of crap. Seriously.
There's an unidentified fifth planet, which may end up being the Korriban, Morriban.
Yeah.
So, Merker. What this guy is claiming is that we're going to be, obviously, Jeez. Tatooine. We're going to be on the Yavin. We're going to be briefly on Coruscant. And then we're going to be on a planet called Sularn, S-U-L-L-A-R-N.
S-U-L-L-A-R-N, Sularn?
Sularn.
Maybe it's like Sullust.
That's what I thought when I first saw it.
Sullustans live on Sularn.
Renamed Sullust.
It could have.
And then the unnamed planet, which I would assume, because early rumors were that we're going to see the Sith homeworld.
Okay. Well, if there's somebody's out, you know, collecting Darth trinkets. Well,
here's the thing. Here's the thing about these planets. That's a lot of planets, right? I mean, that's kind of a George Lucas amount of planets.
I don't know. I mean, we spent all of episode one on Naboo, except for some fleeting Coruscant. Did we have any Coruscant in episode one?
No, we had three planets. Tatooine, and Coruscant. That's three in episode one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so...
You know, in the original, okay, let's look at...
So, episode four, we had two planets. We had...
No, I won't give you that.
Tatooine and Yavin 4.
I won't give you that. The Death Star counts.
It doesn't.
It totally counts as a planet because it's its own...
It's a planet.
It's its own designed environment.
It's its own setting, for sure.
It is its own setting that is its own environment, that is its own design. It's where major characters are congregating to do something. By all intents and purposes, it's a planet. It's not even a small moon. I'm going to come over there and put my foot so far between your cheeks... You have the Death Star.
Okay, so Empire Strikes Back. You got Hoth. You got Bespin.
You've got Dagobah.
That's three.
And you've got the Super Star Destroyer Executor.
Oh, God. And yeah, the planet Super Star Destroyer.
I'm not the saying, hell? But I'm saying it's another place where you jump to frequently stomach. For players to act out something that's taking place. You're talking about jumping around. And I'm talking about jumping around, biatch. Okay, so now we're going to go to Jedi. All right, you're back on Tatooine. You're on. You got home one. You got Death Star number two. Oh, God. You got...
shoot me in the head.
You've got the forest moon of Endor. Okay, four. I'm saying if they do it right, it doesn't matter. I mean, maybe we're going to spend less time on the bridges of Star Destroyers.
I don't know.
If we do, that makes sense to have something to fill the gaps.
Five planets. I'm
What are those five planets again?
That would be Tatooine. It would be Coruscant. It would be a planet called Sularn.
Or Sularn.
Sularn, Yavin 4, and an unnamed fifth planet. Again, Morriban, Korriban would be my guess.
Just saying.
It says the planet Sularn is going to be where the film's climax takes place.
Interesting.
It's saying here, now this is weird, it's saying, well, I guess take it for what it's worth, because we don't know much of anything. Sularn is said to be like Taiga, T-A-I-G-A, at its best, and the Arctic at its worst. We've heard rumors about a snow world.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be...
Well, yeah, and you look at the dropship of stormtroopers. When the thing goes down, they go out, you can see snow flying.
Right. Well, and you also see the Sith guy walking through the snow and trees.
Yep.
So, or Sith girl, if you must. Well, is that all we have wrapped up from the CD gentleman on 4chan?
Yeah. So what do you guys think overall? Is this guy, let me ask you guys this first. If what this guy is saying, is the movie going to be interesting to you?
Yeah.
Sure.
Nothing on it sounds crazy to me.
I'm kind of right there. What this guy's laying out seems something that I'd be interested in. I mean, some of the crazy stuff that we had heard early on was really having me worried about things, but this seems to kind of be putting things back into place.
Yeah. If this is about the force bringing back balance to itself, then I'm going to be on cloud nine. So,
but is it bringing back balance if it's awakening in a bunch of everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought
the force wants to be used is what force, this guy's
your
claiming.
Argument. I thought was always that the force balanced itself by the fact that everything was eliminated.
No, right. By having a balanced number of
light and dark. Well, if the number was zero,
well, the force wants to be.
Well, yeah, you're saying that now, but are you amending what you said before?
Or? I guess I never thought I said it completely eliminated.
Okay. Well, I mean, eliminated is an example of balance.
I don't think you can eliminate the force.
If there's zero and zero on both sides, there's no Jedi and no Sith or whatever, no dark Jedi, then that's balance of a sort, you know, or if there's only one Jedi and he goes off and hides, that's kind of balance-ish, you know, because he's not doing a bunch of Jedi stuff. But in this case, it's, you know, a bunch of little force sprouts are springing up all over the place. And
yeah, I mean, that's definitely a little bit different than what I was saying, but it's not totally different than what I was thinking. I mean, I was thinking there needs to be some, you know, balance. And as you get more and more people in light and dark, you know, you got the.
Well, I think the idea that under the circumstances, if that's accurate and the force is suddenly just if people are just being suddenly imbued with force sensitivity. All over the place. I think it lends credence to what this guy's saying about the fact that there is the Andy Serkis Sith that says that Palpatine was dumb. It shouldn't just be two. That makes sense in the environment where there's suddenly a bunch of new users because suddenly, guess what? There's pickings.
Right.
Suddenly there's, hey, we can go out and create a force because there's a bunch of people who are now going to be sensitive. What's the word I'm looking at? Susceptible to our influence.
Right.
Right. What if the super weapon is the thing that awakens the force in all these people?
Ooh, I hadn't thought of that.
Kyber crystals.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it's more spiritual than that. I think it's just the force.
I never liked technology and the force intermingling. Well, you remember what everybody thought about midichlorians.
Right.
Everybody just went instantly. And I know that's biology, but you know, that whole thing that you could just, you know, hey, let me get a blood sample, you know, bend over and turn your head and cough. And oh yeah, you're forcey.
A super weapon doesn't have to be technology, by the way.
It doesn't. You're right. It could be some like meditation. Well, and that's
what kind of what we've heard so far. This guy doesn't make much mention of it, but if you remember, the idea is that Morban Korban, the Sith homeworld in this movie, is the weapon itself.
Yeah,
you know, it's not a Death Star. It's not a laser per se.
What if?
That's kind of what Garrett, I was thinking. Yeah,
Darth Bane used a meditation sphere to wipe out the Sith.
No, he used some sort of force technique. Well, he didn't use it. He tricked some other people into using it that wiped them all out.
Right.
Some force spirit bomb or something like that.
Okay. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was something pulled out of the old EU canon that was then used in reverse or something like that suddenly.
Maybe that's the bad thing Luke does. He goes to this planet and like wipes out the Empire somehow.
What if it's the Valley of the Jedi?
Oh, man.
Seriously?
It's supposedly the Sith homeworld, though. So that kind of, I would love that.
I know, but supposedly, I mean, I'm just saying, I know it would Wars never happen. Mission,
in those yeah. Jedi, the Jedi Wars didn't bury their dead on
the Force
on the Sith homeworld.
That would be so amazing that it's like everything would pay off. It all would pay off. I'd be ready to just go box up everything on the shelves over there because it's all fine. We're done.
Parting thoughts on this guy and what he's saying? I mean, again, it's
a dude on 4chan.
Yeah, right. I mean, let's make sure that we're clear about that.
Yeah.
This guy claims to be, you know, all kinds of things, but I mean, there's nothing earth shattering here. I mean, a lot of it's stuff that we've heard already. A lot of it is things that you could have, you know, take what we've heard and just kind of make your own story up kind of thing. I mean, it sounds nice. It sounds all plausible, exactly.
But when it comes down to it, it's a dude on 4chan. So who knows?
Just like the trailer description sounded pretty believable.
It's all about striking balance in what you hear. And you know, we've talked a lot about balance tonight, gentlemen. So I would like to take this opportunity to present the what will be the final holiday installment.
Oh.
Of the Fly Casual Glee Club.
Glee Club, yes.
Now I'm going to say this: they're not being disbanded. Necessarily, but this will be the final
last holiday edition.
The final Christmas song of 2014.
All right.
From the Fly Casual Glee Club, I present to you the Balance Song.
Oh.
oxygen tank.
Hoskins roasting on an open fire.
Wow, Peter's got a good voice.
Dark side nipping at your soul. Your mother's dead. Situation looks dire and feels like losing self-control. Everybody's goal is peace and prosperity. For others more forceful than for some. Won't be long. You'll be a quad amputee, and at that point you may succumb. You'll know that Vader will repay. He'll claim his vengeance and his rage along the way. And every mother's twins are gonna grow. They'll have an empire to overthrow.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase, like Obi-Wan's ghost said to Luke. Although life seems bleak, like you've lost your ways, may the force be with you.
Lovely. That's nice.
One,
listen.
Two, or do not. There is no try.
Oh.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
This is true.
Who's the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows it?
Lack of faith disturbing.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase. The suns will set on this day too.
Very deep.
Always in motion. The future yet stays, so may the force be with you.
Wow, that was...
That was very holiday-ish.
I want to curl up in a ball and spoon with one of you. And I want to be the little spoon. Yeah.
Mike and I are already spooning right now.
We need to move right into jellies and jams after that.
I know, ladies and gentlemen. It has been a wonderful episode. Having you along. Of course, we will be topping off the first calendar year of Fly Casual. Not a full year, but
not
the first
full year, but
calendar year.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yep. And we look forward to hearing more from us.
And we'd like to hear more from you too.
Yeah,
and
giving you more of our shenanigans.
Now, I think we'll have another episode probably hitting between the holidays or in the midst of the holidays.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So we're not taking that much time off. So do check back frequently and often and follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 and on Facebook, like I said, facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast. And, of course, look for us on YouTube.
Yes.
And Instagram and all those crazy places as well, where we like to chat with you guys. We like to hear from you. We like to talk to you every chance we get. So thank you very much for joining us. I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. Over there is Mike.
Hello.
And Garrick.
Hey.
And Howie.
Yo, this is kind of a somber.
I know. It's a nice little gentle song there. Again, I want to be the little spoon somewhere. Hey, get on your favorite podcast apps and rate us. Your podcast websites, give us a high rating so that we can reach more people in the new year and explode and take over the galaxy as, I don't know, podcaster and listener. So, hey, in the meantime, gentlemen, what do you say?
Jelly?
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 I say jelly.
All right.
Night, everybody.
There we go.